Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel will step down at the end of the calendar year as part of the conclusion of an investigation into the culture of its athletics department. In 10 years, he oversaw national titles in football and men's basketball, while the school also acknowledged his failures to quickly and effectively act on allegations of wrongdoing by athletic department employees. Michigan's search for a new AD will start immediately. Baseball today, Guardians host the Twins at 6:40. Cleveland one game out of first in the AL Central behind Chicago. Minnesota's four games out. Then, later tonight, Reds visit the Mariners at 9:40. Cincinnati's last in the NL Central, but six games out of a wild card spot. This update's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/Visa. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Let's start a sports week with you. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, my man Bobby Carpenter riding shotgun today, and the loose cannon is behind the glass. Good to see you, my man.
It's great to see you. I'm excited to be in here. Been rolling. Did the show this morning. Hopped over. Did the live show at Roosters with Berm and Austin.
The other guy.
The other guy.
I think it's, yeah.
Maybe it was the other guys.
Domingo, actually. Right. Placido Domingo and the other guy.
So we did that and then bounced back down here with you. Just had a busy week. Yeah. Busy summer.
Weekend?
Man.
Oh, well, summer. Just, it's flying by.
It really is. It always does.
Because we don't dry out till June.
Well, that's true. But it's been pretty hot. You get the smoke in there with it, so it's pretty nice. You like the smoky
inhalation.
Treats. Yeah, you like the smoky treats, Rothman, so it gives you a little bit of that.
Friday, they said, I don't know, we never got it down to the hours, but it was like the equivalent of like smoking, was it a half a pack or whatever, yeah. Depending on how long you wanted to be out there.
Listen, I used to take that on like my freshman year is when they stopped letting you smoke at the end of that in bars in Columbus. And I mean, I like you, like any person that is a creature of the night likes to go out there, and you're willing to inhale some of that smoke to maybe find, you know, something that you're looking for. You're not really even sure what that is at times.
Everybody smells the same.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, but do they taste the same? That's the key, the smoky treat, which is what you always like. You know, that's a fun one. And so I used to go do that. I would come home. I remember I started showering when I got back to the dorm because I would wake up and I would smell. It's like sleeping in a camp, like a bonfire.
Chimney.
And my mom, literally, my pillow sham stunk from my hair and everything else. And I would bring my clothes home. I would put them in a garbage bag. And I took the laundry hamper and basically turned it into a trash can. I like lined it with the trash bag. I would put the clothes in. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I get them, I would seal it up so the room wouldn't smell like smoke anymore. And I would go home every Thursday night. I never once did laundry in the dorm. I don't know if I could ever do laundry in a public place. I'm not like some high society guy, but I don't want people stealing my crap. I heard stories like, you know, people would wait. They'd be like a porch pirate, Rothman. They'd sit out there. They'd wait for you to start your laundry, and you'd walk away. They'd go open it up, dump your stuff out, and steal your wash. I'm like, what kind of society do we live in?
Wait. Meaning, so they could use the washer, not actually steal your clothing.
No, yeah. Sometimes they'd steal. Okay. My wife's like, I lost some things in there, but they would. It was whatever, like a dollar to wash it. So they didn't want to pay the dollar, so they
dump
would,
your wet.
They would wait and they just dump them on the floor.
So you get a fresh cycle.
Yes, yeah, so you'd have to sit there. And
we got a live one
for the young folks out there. Like there was a cell phone, but it was like a Nokia brick. Like there was nothing you could talk to people on it, but that was it. There was nothing there to entertain you. And what are you gonna do, like? Read a book, but you have to sit there and guard your laundry. So A, they wouldn't steal it, and B, they wouldn't steal like your wash. So I never did that. So I'd always go home every Thursday, and that kept me from going out on Thursday nights too. That was also a big thing. Like sometimes, Rothman, you get that the siren song kind of pulls you right to just the fun spots. It was my freshman year. We're winning, so I'd always leave the dorm. And then especially as I got older, I really did that because I didn't want to go out anymore. But I'd go home and I'd take this laundry bag and I'd open it up. And my mom was like, she's like, are you smoking? I'm like, no. She's like, I don't believe you. She's like, you smell that? I'm like, I smell it.
I don't believe.
Because my parents, like, they didn't smoke. And
but I enjoy it so much, Mom.
Exactly. It's the taste.
I can't quit now.
But they never went out anywhere, yeah, like, and wouldn't go to bars and smoke. Like, you know, remember you used to smoking and non, you're like, mm-hmm, first available. Like, okay, you'd have someone beside you ripping a heater at Bob Evans. Like, how's your food taste after that cigarette? That sounds gross. But she was never around. I'm like, Mom, I don't think you understand. Some of these bars, the ceilings are like 7.5 feet. Like, if I get on my tiptoes, I feel like I might
in the clouds.
I might be
I mean, I'm in the cloud.
You're literally sitting
that,
like,
by the way, that was being in the cloud.
Yes, you were in the cloud. I'm like, the amount of smoke I ingest, how bad my clothes smell, my hair. I go, Mom, I shower before I go to bed.
I mean, the lure of the siren song.
But it was so
never
great.
What it seems to be, yet who among us can resist?
Oh, that always had sinus infections and stuff that year because it was just breathing in all that smoke.
The amazing,
but she did it for the love.
That's right. The amazing part, honestly, is the former, like the professional athletes and the pictures of them, the Len Dawson, the smoking during halftime. That's that to me is unbelievable. But that was
my dad when he was
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Oh yeah, the cloud of dust, right. Maybe a puff of a cig. My dad, he's like, when he played, I mean, they'd have the straight up, you know, beer on the beer right there on the bench right as they come out, or their little stool. Like, you come over, there's a six pack of beer for you after the game. Guys would light up. Yeah. Rip a couple of heaters.
You and I both, I think you like this one. It didn't make my top 10, but it probably makes my top 10 sports movies. I love North Dallas 40.
Oh, yeah.
I always have. And it's, remember when Nick Nolte and Mac, they're in the training room, and they go in and they're breaking into the medicine cabinet and getting the painkillers. And then but then the trainer comes in and he's so pissed at him. And he's like, you know, I'm going to tell BA and this is it. Enough of this stuff. And then at the end he goes, and quit stealing my beer.
Exactly. On top of all that.
And all that.
You're taking the beers.
Well, all right. It's good to have you, my man. Always good to relive some good.
It's good to be had.
The odds on LeBron are shifting with the smoke.
Wait, are they shifting to trust the process?
Well, they're shifting, and that it may even happen today.
Mm.
So,
well, here's the thing. NFL training camps are starting at the end of the week. You just got done with the World Cup, the British Open.
I mean, a little window
you've
here.
You've got this opportunity that if you want to seize, like the caliphate, seize the unclaimed ground and seize the opportunity. There's a dead hole right now. And if you go out there, I said he should recreate the decision, except get his boys as like grown men now sitting on their like little Indian style, sitting there watching him on the stool.
They're duck, like, duck, goose.
Yeah, I mean, like, could do well, they're little, like the boys and girls club, you know, and he's sitting there and I'm going to take my talents and finish my career. Mm-hmm. Boom. And, you know, then maybe some confetti drops. Maybe it could be even like a gender reveal. They some sort of
the colors of the team or something.
Yeah, and boom, and maybe you get some of that maroon and the champagne.
Wine and gold.
Wine and gold. Yeah. Maybe it's a little Sixer blue and red. Maybe some Miami Heat, and it's just a giant kilo of blow that flies
in
the air.
I mean, just a cloud of blow.
Absolutely. Why not?
The LeBron James sweepstakes is living on. I would say this. Patrick Beverly tweeted, rumor has it Bron makes his decision today. So everyone's going off of that. There's no telling where he got that info or whether he's trolling it or, I mean, people are taking it at face value.
Legit?
That he knows something or that he's trolling it?
That he might know something.
I mean, the problem with all these prediction sites is that they're shifting money around. If a lot of money comes in on this team, they'll shift to that team. But
maybe they
there's an inner
maybe
circle.
Maybe they even slide a little bit of their own on there.
I mean, an inner circle has been told, right?
You would
maybe
think.
Like, that's where I'm thinking that he might know. So the same few teams still have the interest. So Cavs, Heat, Sixers, Golden State. I think those are the
big
ones.
Does he have an interpreter like Shohei that could maybe lay down something for him?
I mean, someone's got to make some money off this if they know.
I mean, if you're a friend, you're like, hey, man, just all I'm asking for, bud, is a little up. Hey, you know what?
Little heads up.
Push it somewhere else. Get me some better value.
That's right.
And then let's come back and circle back home, okay?
I said last week, the longer this goes, the longer he lets this drift, the more he runs the risk of just teasing Cav fan Like, don't do that again. You deliver the title. They'll forever love you.
But you want it to be like the Big Mac or a club sandwich, yeah. Rothman. You want the three slices of bread in there, the top and the bottom. He could find a way to really dovetail it. He's got the title slice in the middle, and maybe he comes back. And realistically, this team is probably as good as any for a chance to get back to the finals. I don't know if you can win it, but I think that they're at least as good as any.
It just checks more boxes. And then he kind of last week, he threw in the little bit about the family angle. And, like, here's my take on the family. Don't make it the most important thing if it's not.
Yeah.
Meaning, don't say it, because you can retire.
Yeah.
Like, that's an option.
Yeah, you don't have to keep playing.
Like, you're at the point now at 41 where it'd be okay if you decided this is it. So, when he's talking about... You know, I don't know, underrated, overrated. You and I have always liked him.
I think
Huey Lewis is one of those like Cinderella stories. He never really had the greatest voice, but it was unique enough. The music was good for its time. Great song in Back to the Future, Power of Love. Like he did enough right around the music video time where like those were big. But you're going in your 24th season, and he made this big thing about how he talked to his daughter and like, hey, I want you to know first, and don't tell me now whether you're upset. You can tell me later. Like, we can talk about this. So I don't know. The longer this drifts in the summer of LeBron again, I think he runs a risk. We'll give you the odds when we come back. And then also the doings up at Michigan and whether or not we believe this was truly voluntary. That's next. Rothman and
Nitza.
Common Man and Timmy.
Empire State Building. Oh, look at that. It sucked.
Why do we do
any
of it?
Why are we going places just looking at a Google image? There it is.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A lot of sunshine for the morning hours with a few more clouds drifting overhead during the afternoon. There'll be some patches of haze from the wildfire smoke as well, but not as bad as what we had at the end of last week. Highs today reach the mid-80s. For tomorrow, occasional rain and thunderstorms are likely. Few of those could be strong to severe in the afternoon with highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot. And you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan.
We'll do The Floor is Yours, top of the hour, 1 o'clock. Your chance to win the Skyline gift card. Best call gets it. We'll do some quick odds here, and then we'll get to the circus up in Ann Arbor. LeBron James' next team, the odds today. The Miami Heat have taken the lead.
Ooh.
This is the Kalshi versus the Poly Market odds. And
so, you asked this, and I just always assumed the Poly Market was some sort of aggregated gambling thing that gave you like the best idea of what the odds were across like multiple platforms. The Poly Market is a decentralized prediction market platform where users bet on the outcomes of real-world events such as elections, sports matches, economic indicators. Rather than betting against a bookmaker, users buy yes or no shares whose prices reflect the collective probability of an event happening. So you're not betting against the house. You're betting against other people. Like this is,
and you can sell.
And you can sell yourself.
Like a stock. Like if you're on the right side, but you're not, if you think you're on the right side,
And you're getting better
your shares
odds.
Are getting right.
Yeah. So like you have ownership over your bet. So if the odds shift, you can sell it.
Yeah. I don't think you can do that here in Ohio.
They said. So,
I don't think that's
funny
on the
that
list.
You mentioned that. Where was this?
I don't think Poly Market is in Ohio.
Where did that go? It just had it. They had.
I was kind of jealous. I didn't dream this up.
Regulation, commonly traded.
It's not in all states.
It's not in all states. It's in most territories, U.S. territories and states, but there are some states where it is restricted or blocked.
Well, I'm a little surprised that the Heat have jumped only because I don't look at LeBron's future as being 2 to 3 years. Maybe he does, but he and Giannis, it's not enough. Like, what is Riley's plan? Because it certainly wouldn't be like this year. Like, this year... He's much better off going to the Cavs and trying to make a race out of that, especially in the East. Like Miami certainly would be fun with he and Giannis, but They don't have enough shooters. He's going to have to get shooters. I was talking to Cole about this earlier, about maybe Riley would go out and get a 36-year-old DeRozan or somebody that they could just kind of piece it together. But the odds say that Miami is the leader right now. And last week, I was all about the Cavs. I felt like the longer this goes, the more the Cavs will be the team. But that would be me being naive, thinking that LeBron actually cares about Cav fan. Like, he's delivered the ultimate prize. He may think, like, you got what you got.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what you always ask about. You know, what's your motivation? What is the thing that's most important to him at this point? And he said a bunch of stuff. Like, it's the end of your career. Do you want to win? Do you want to go someplace to make people happy? You talk about it being your family. Everybody has their own, their different selection set. Like, what is your why? Why do you do what you do? And I've tried to always figure that out in my life when I'm doing different things. Like, why do I do this? Is it simply a job? Do I love it? You know, why am I doing that? Why am I spending this time? You know, you start, you get old in life, Roth, and things get taken from you. That's just part of life. But you don't learn that until you start losing stuff. You find out life is this game of inches. So is football,
the
man.
Inches we need are all around us.
But you start looking around and you reach an age, like, all right, well, how many more of these days do I have left? And how am I going to spend these? And if you're LeBron, you're looking at your, they always say an athlete dies twice. You're looking at your career mortality right here. This is the last decision you're going to make. And he still can impact teams. And I don't know if he, I don't think he could be the best player on the team to get him to a final, but he could be probably the 2 to 3 at any point in time and go make plays. But who do you want to be surrounded with? Where do you want to do that? What's the best situation? Is winning even important to you? You're not going to, and in LA, he was getting a lot of money, but like they really weren't winning there the last couple of years, not to the degree that I think that he wanted to. And so what is it now? And I don't know. I don't know if anybody really knows. And I'm not even sure, Rothman, that he might even know at times.
The bookend romance of Cleveland, the kid from Akron, the chosen one, like that for me feels like that would be worth it, to bookend your career where it started and not just do it as a ceremonial thing, knowing you'd have a legitimate chance to win. That checks a lot of boxes, especially if you know you're not going there for 5-6 years. You know, you're not.
It's 1 to 2 years.
This is it. And the other part is the winning is the, I don't know if it's important for him. He's always been compared to Michael, not Magic, not Kobe. He could tie them with another title.
He gets that to Kobe and Magic with 5. And that's,
I said that last week, that may be important. The Kareem and Michael, that's a little bit far-fetched. I don't think he's getting to 6, but if they got one this year, who knows? But
well, the thing is, to be able to win the finals, you've got to get to the finals. And so people talk about is, you know, Golden State, looking at that. Like,
I'd avoid the West if I could.
Of course, because you can't win it if you can't win your conference. Yeah. And so maybe when you get to the East, it's like, all right, well, maybe they won't win it. You know what? They beat Golden State the one time. Like, in a 7-game series, things happen. So you just got to be able to get there. So what's the team in the East that would make the most sense if winning is the most important thing to you? And legacy, and being able to be like, you talked about Kareem, being able to win a title after the age of 40, mm-hmm. like with all the miles he has on him, I mean, that is a little bit Kareem-esque. Now, yeah, he's not probably getting to 6, but if he got to 5, I think that would answer a lot of questions. And winning a title, I joke with this, like winning a title in Cleveland's like winning 2. They should almost count that one for double.
It does feel that way. Well, if you go to just what they were last year, Cleveland's better than Miami, although they just got Giannis. So there is a big boost there. But I would avoid Oak City. I'd avoid San Antonio. I'd avoid Denver. Like, that's kind of why you're leaving L.A. in my mind. Like, that'd be the reason to leave there.
Maybe they were ready to move on from you, too.
It's possible, but the family part and being in LA and liking it, like that's like being willing that people are saying, oh, well, Golden State's still in California. Okay. I guess that would be something, but it just doesn't. Honestly, I don't see him doing it for legacy reasons, just picking the old dudes to run with. I don't
you
sense that
the Lakers, when they did that with Karl Malone and Gary Payton,
yes,
you know, they tried to run that all back with those guys in like 2004 or 2005, and they lost. I mean, they were bad. I mean, I always, I joked with my one buddy. I was like, man, they got Lakers. They got Gary Payton. He's the glove. And my buddy was, he's more like a holy mitten at this point. I don't know if he's really locking anybody down.
Kobe was there?
Yeah, it was Kobe.
Yeah, it was Kobe.
I think it was like 2005, yeah. Four or five, mm-hmm. maybe. It was after they won the three titles, I want to say. And those guys all tried to rally up together. And I think they thought they could give them just enough. And you've got the younger stars, and you've got them, but they had no bench. And then that was when I think they lost that Pistons team. I'm trying to remember.
That was probably the year before they did. You're talking about the year after they lost to the Pistons?
It was Kobe and Kobe and Shaq were still there, but they brought in Payton and Garnett.
Okay, so that would have been the 03-04 team was the one that had the one that lost to the Pistons.
Yeah.
In the finals.
Yes.
And then you're talking about the next year?
Payton was on the Pistons in on the Lakers in 2004. 2003-2004.
Because then it was nothing. It was...
Yeah. They were not...
They bottomed out the following year after they lost to the Pistons. So, I mean, they lost to the Spurs in 03. And then they went out and signed... You say they signed Malone and Gary, but you were talking about the year after?
Yes.
You're talking about the year they signed...
The Lakers entered the season...
Because they got Horace Grant also. I'm looking at their roster right now.
Oh, yeah. They were old.
So they signed Karl Malone... Gary Payton, and they re-signed Horace.
Yes.
And they were the favorites right away.
Oh, yeah.
After that happened.
Second seed in the Western Conference, beat the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, you remember the stuff with Kobe. That was the whole, that was the 03. That was the Colorado stuff, too.
They lost to the Pistons.
He was dealing with all the assault case and, yeah.
So that's the argument. Like,
and they were fighting together, weren't they? Shaq and Kobe. Oh, they were getting along.
That was the last year I think Shaq was there. Maybe one more. They were.
They would both get to the microphone and they in the media and they would just rip each other.
Oh yeah, but that was it. And so that was, you know, they had put that together. And that when I hear LeBron going to the Warriors, I'm like, it's kind of what it sounds like. You need the problem was is that the Pistons were significantly younger, and so they're just more athletic. And you, if you didn't have any young guys on your team. Like that was going to be, that was an issue for you. And that was the problem.
I just think it all comes together in Cleveland. Nothing's guaranteed that you're going to win everything, but you've got a great chance. So you get to check all of it. Going back home, bookending the career, having a chance to win. Like it just, if you're not going to stay out in LA, it just makes more sense to me. But Miami would be intriguing to go back with Pat and run it back again there to try to get to five and tie Magic and Kobe. They're like you said in the beginning, nobody truly knows, but I think he's playing every single card, the family, the winning, the location. Like, where could he have it all? You can't have it all. If you want family, retire. Yeah. You want to win, probably go to, well, I
that's
think Cleveland.
That's a guess, but Cleveland checked that
a
box.
A little
probably.
Better than Miami this year.
Yes.
If you want the romance of the whole storybook ending, go to Cleveland. Like, there's just more cards there. All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes, and we'll give you the... Oh, this is good, because the president of the University of Michigan is trying to sell something. We'll see if we're buying it. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Scotty Vegas here, and my new Bronco from Krieger Ford might go down as one of my best purchases of all time. I love it. The family loves it. I decided to get my wife's car some much-needed service. Krieger Ford conveniently picked up her car. I was prepared to spend a ton on repairs. Nope. They walked me through the problems, and it was fixed and brought back to our driveway in a day. Plus, saved me some money for some summertime parlays. The Krieger Ford experience is awesome. See for yourself at KriegerFord.com.
Iconic summer moments deserve an iconic drink. Reach for Mountain Dew, an American original. From its beginnings in the foothills of Tennessee to your biggest summer yet. The refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew is the perfect companion to your American summer adventures. Enjoy the refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew. Tasting great since 48. Look for Mountain Dew in stores near you at MountainDew.com. That's MountainDew.com.
Your outcome.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious?
No, he's not from New Jersey.
Back to Rossman and Ice.
They couldn't stiff arm it any longer. And now they're peddling it as a Oh, just stepping down for the good of the program. Let me step aside. They just got done telling you that Ward Manuel is one of the greatest ADs in the country. And then days later.
Great for everyone else.
That's right.
Maybe not for
the people
anymore.
That are not going there. All right. So this is one of those stories that I don't know. This is more. Listen, we're in Columbus, Ohio. We get it. It's time to, you know what, all over Michigan here. It cost him $12 million to basically get out of the Ward Manuel business. Like, this has been an expensive run for them to try to hang on. Now, the reason they're hanging on...
It's because trophies are heavy.
Well, and he is an alum.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're trying to do a former player, well, at least give him a softer landing. So he's been a successful AD. I don't know, you can debate on how that success happened, but he was no longer a guy they could employ. Like, $12 million to figure it out? So... He's going to serve out the next 5 months under this contract.
I didn't
mean it that way. He's going to be there for the next 5 months before getting paroled, before stepping down. He leaves behind a lot of bad stuff.
Two trophies.
But he's a homegrown success story. He's a Michigan man. He's a former lineman who earned 3 degrees there, a bachelor, 2 masters. Like, he's been an assistant AD. He's done a lot, and I think that's why they went to bat for him.
Sister's been through a lot.
He hired Harbaugh. Then he stuck with him when he couldn't beat Ohio State. And
hit him with a pay cut, though.
They did. I love doing those shows with you because every day, Cole, I said to Bobby, he'll never leave. He can't leave until he beats Ohio State. And then we finally got to the end where I never thought it would happen. Well, what if they want to move on from him? And I thought, that's not possible. Like, and he finally did it, right? He delivered their
It's crazy. The win. You have a football coach and a men's basketball coach who win titles for you and then leave immediately after to go to coach professionally.
The first Big Ten team to win a national title in 26 years.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
And he leaves to get out of there.
And you're wondering, like, and he's leaving late. Like, it was, I don't know. It seemed very clunky, as if there was something else amiss, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So here's the president, Grasso. And tell me if you believe what he's trying to sell here.
Uh-oh. Wasn't the audio playing? Let's see.
In recent years, our teams have won national championships in men's and women's gymnastics, football, and men's basketball. These successes are a testament to our students, coaches, staff, and in no small part to the tireless work of Athletic Director Ward Manuel. But we also know there have been significant challenges over the past several years. That is why late last year, I asked the law firm Jenner & Block to conduct 2 independent reviews. First, an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the conduct of former coach Sherrone Moore, who we terminated based on evidence of an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate. And second, a review into the culture, conduct, and procedures of our athletic department. The broader culture review has identified serious concerns that require immediate action. These include failures in accountability, structural deficiencies, weaknesses in our reporting and support systems, and concerns about retaliation. This is unacceptable. We have significant work ahead to restore Michigan athletics to its standing as a model program, not only on the field, but also off the field. The review also identified interference, poor oversight, and failures of accountability by the highest levels of university leadership. This must change. Additionally, today I'm announcing that Ward Manuel has told me he would like to step down. Mm. I have the deepest respect for Ward and his countless contributions to Michigan and have asked him to stay on until the end of the calendar year. I have asked him, along with one of my trusted vice presidents, to serve as a special advisor to the president and help implement these reforms. And I will be launching a national search for our next athletic director.
Please don't leave us. I can't buy it. You can't. It's contradicting.
Announcing that he was going to step down and that he's going to be staying on to help us and assist
shepherd us through this dark time.
Yeah, we have to change all these policies because of poor leadership. But please help us change these policies.
How is he the one that escaped all of that examination? Like
they no one's seen the official report yet. The stuff that was all going on with Moore and the staffer and all that, I joked with people because this time last year, people started hearing about it. And like, I heard about that in the spring. People were telling me about this.
Like, Bob,
everybody,
Ward Manuel, if you believe it, wrote in August of 24 a handwritten note to him. Ward Manuel did. I told him I didn't remember if we had already discussed it, but she couldn't accompany him on trips. Why would that be necessary?
If your orders are always followed, then why is she in any danger?
Right. Grave danger. You said, is there any other kind? Yeah. I don't need it read back to me. Why 2 years ago would he have written that? And then how does Ward Manuel get this great stamp of approval from the president today? When you're ripping on the leadership and how all this stuff has to change, they're trying to help this guy who's been a part of Michigan's success and is an alum. They're trying not to just crush him completely.
So, Bodie had the greatest line. He said, trophies are heavy. And Roth, when you get out the scales of justice there and you start dumping on all of the bad stuff, you're like, gosh, there's a lot here. And then you lop on that football trophy. You're like, oh, that's pretty heavy. Then you put on a basketball one that you haven't had for a long time. You're like, all right, well, we're kind of getting some of that bad stuff off the ground now. You know, this has been unprecedented success. And so that's the thing they're trying to reconcile. By the way, let's not forget that Grasso, he's their new president. He just took over in 25. I can't think of the previous guy's name. Like, remember, he tried to bounce and go to Florida, and they had him like already all signed up and ready to go, and then the board voted him down at the very end.
It's honestly, it's just they're trying to save face.
Santa Ono.
Yeah, Santa Ono. No. Yoko. Like, he went down there. Like, and then they like, beasted him out of Florida. And I was like, well, what the heck's going to happen? He already resigned at Michigan.
I mean, the weird part is that you could look at all the scandals for the last 9 years under Ward Manuel.
There's a lot.
I mean, now, they're not in context. Some are, I don't know how they turned out, whether they were alleged or they happened. But the fact that there's some stuff on this list, this is not a great list for him to have attached to him as the AD. Not that he did this, but things that happened under him.
It's true. But here's the other part with it, Rothman. You go look through that when you start talking about the guy who was sneaking into people's social media stuff.
Matt Weiss.
Matt White. Yeah. I mean, just there's a million things. Yeah. And the reality is, Rothman, none of them are all really related. Like, there's all these different things. You're like, these are all just separate independent issues. This is wild. Like, how you can have this many different things and there's not like one common thread outside of him being the AD during this time.
It comes back to a little bit of the trophy stuff that they were so, everything is so competitive. There's so much money involved. There's so many people that rely upon the success of an athletic program to either keep their jobs or keep their big salaries or the competitive nature of it or just wanting to win, just wanting to beat Ohio State or just wanting to win a title, that you're willing to justify and brush a lot of things away and try to, and especially in this era where you think you can, where there's just not enough teeth unless it's something so bad. The Connor Stallions, the sign stealing stuff, you know, we debated for a long time on whether that was truly a major advantage or other teams were doing it, other programs were doing it. He just built a better mousetrap. Like, no, like, they knew what they were doing, and they gambled on doing it because of what it meant. And now, guess what? The chickens have come home to roost,
oh,
baby.
Yes,
I don't know what that means. The chickens are here, and I think that, listen, every school is going to have athletes that go awry of the law, coaches that do weird. Look at Bobby Petrino.
Oh, yeah.
So many years ago, he had the relationship with a staffer. He gave her $20,000 so she could buy a car. He sent her,
Give her a free motorcycle ride.
The relationship was over, yet there were 7,000 texts between the two and 300 phone calls. And yes, and even he was lying even in the hospital, figuratively and literally, to the AD. Jeff Long, who I think is at Kansas now.
Yeah.
And he was like, listen, he told me, he did the same thing. Well, if the relationship was over, why are you out for this Sunday motorcycle ride? And then lying about it.
One last goodbye.
When I came to, there was a lady in a ditch.
Who found you?
And the sun was in my eyes. And I actually have that somewhere. I'll play it for you. I've kept that for all these years.
Well, because they go, how did she get, who was here on the scene?
How did you get from the crash to the hospital? Well, when I came to, there was a lady.
It's like an angel.
In a ditch. I was in a. I'll find that. I have that in my system.
How did she
get
on the scene so quick? Well, she was actually riding on the back of the motorcycle with me.
And where's he now?
He's Belichick's OC in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Ironically, Louisville brought him back after that. And last, where it happened at Arkansas, he was the OC and the interim head coach. I was hoping that they would give him that head coaching job. Then he could be the only guy that I've ever heard of that got... He was the same head coach of the same place twice. Like, marred with all
Brown.
Kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Mac Brown's the only one I got.
Well, Mac Brown coached at North Carolina twice.
Yeah.
But he was at Louisville twice. He would have been at Arkansas twice.
Two different places.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
We call that the Daily Double. We'll come back. Party Like a Rothstar on deck. RothmanAndI.com.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
I don't know.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
All right, I'm going to start with golf. That makes sense. It's a great story. I know a lot of people pulling for Cam Young. I think the amazing part about this, Bob, and I think I'm correct on this, that so Cam Young before Sunday, before the final round, was 150-1. Like, I think you would have gotten him at 150-1 before Sunday. And Ryan Fox was 8-1 on Sunday. 225-1 before the tournament. So what a wild ride. 39 years old, hasn't had a top 10 in a major in all of his majors. So 28 majors, hasn't had a top 10. He's built like a linebacker, and his dad was the main dude for the New Zealand national rugby team that won the first World Cup in the late 80s. He was inducted in the New Zealand Hall of Fame. His grandfather was a guy who was on a national team for like cricket. Anyway, he started the tourney 2 over after the first round. I mean, that's a guy that's kind of like not many guys could win starting the tournament 2 over after 18 holes. He shot 62 on Saturday. And then rarely do you come back the next day and have it all go right as well. But he didn't birdie the par 5 17th when I was watching yesterday. So he had to kind of pipe that drive as the New Zealanders on 18. On 18, he piped the drive. It's a 509-yard par 4. Bunkers everywhere, splits the middle. He has to then make an 11-foot, 7-inch putt, putting into his own shadow, which isn't easy, tucks it into the left side. So he made 4 birdies in the final 6 holes. So his weekend of 10 under, so he went 10 under on the weekend. That's the lowest final 36 in the history of the event. Cam Young had to walk off the range. There'll be no playoff. And he's FaceTiming his family. He said he didn't know how he hit that last putt, to be honest. Well, he made every one, so that's how it happens. 21 birdies he made, which is the best for the week. Wins the Claret Jug, $3.2 million along with it. Everybody watching it live in New Zealand watched him make that putt around 6 in the morning. He lives in the States now. He lives in Florida, but it was a great story. And it kind of, even though on Sunday he was right there, it was not the name people thought would win it. So Ryan Fox... from New Zealand, 39, wins the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale with an electrifying ending on the 72nd hole to capture. He is partying like a Rothstar.
There we go. How about this for you, Rothman? Yep. You know, people start talking about Messi and all the World Cup games he's played in. And you know, Mbappe got the record, goal record. Like, they play that consolation game, so you have to go in there,
10 goals in that thing.
Stack that thing up. Everybody's going for it. I'm going to talk about the real hero of the World Cup. And they have a 15-minute halftime. Only in America can they stretch that to 27 minutes because we're going to jam some performers down your throat. And I don't need to see a 68-year Madonna out there anymore. Biebs was okay. But my champion, the people's champion, 4 World Cups in her belt. 2006 in Germany, 2010, the theme song in Africa, 2014 Brazil. Why they didn't have her in 2020, probably COVID and whatever else was going on. Coming back, my girl Shakira.
Hips don't lie.
The hips don't lie. She'll be 50 on February 2nd. Coming strong. Out there going after it one more time. Does she have an elusive 5th World Cup performance in her? I'm not sure. I'm hoping. I'm hoping she might be able to get that thing going. And if you know what, if you didn't get enough of her there, today you can see her up at Barclays at 8 o'clock. Getting the door price of $76, just a couple of shekels. And if you can't make it there tonight at 7:30 at Barclays, tomorrow, $53. How about that? And so if you liked what you saw, you want to get in, anybody can get in on that. Head on over there. You party like the Roth star Shakira. I was waiting. I was juiced to see that.
She had quite a uni on, too.
Oh,
all the crystals.
Listen, let me tell you, when you're on the level that she is, she's bringing high heat all the time. There's no mail it in. It's not some casual Tuesday, the Cash Dog Tuesday, Roth.
Some throwaway concert up in Rochester.
No, this was, we're performing in front of everybody out there, partying like a Roth star, my girl Shakira.
I jumped in on the game late. I know people were complaining that it was a snooze fest, but, you know, it's
there was a lot of great saves.
Yeah, there were some great saves, good chances. And I, maybe someone can tell me why that was. I guess it was a yellow that turned in right. It was a second yellow that turned into a red. Initially, I didn't know. Yeah. I thought they gave him a red card for that. I thought that was pretty incidental.
Yeah.
I know the other guy gets their ball first and all that. They had to play a man down. But even at the end,
when
Messi with the corner, like, honestly, they had a chance to tie it even at the end. I was buying a little bit into the destiny of Argentina, but Spain certainly was the better team, and they got her done. I don't know. Did you want that to go to penalty kicks? Is that a game that...
So PKs, it's like basically like the college football overtime now, where like you just get the ball after the second or third, whatever it is, after the second overtime, and you just basically have two-point conversions. It would be like ending... you know, a Major League Baseball game on a home run derby. You know, like,
or like a gold medal Olympics on a shootout. Or,
yeah, like, I mean, it's so different than the actual game, but it's just how you do it. And I'll tell you this, I love it. It's the drama of the buildup in between each one going back and forth. Does it tell you who the best team is? Probably not. But I was hoping that Argentina was going to bang one in at the end and so we could get that PKs. The last time it was in the United States, I believe Italy over Brazil in 94, and that went to PKs.
I wouldn't have mind seeing Argentina try it because that would have leveled it a little bit for them, because obviously Spain was dominating possession, dominating the game. I think if you're Argentina, you'd love that thing to go to PKs.
Oh, yeah, because then being down in person,
then you got a puncher's chance, and you really got a chance to win that thing. Great
94 Brazil over Italy in PKs. You want to talk about snooze festival? Mm-hmm. It was literally 0-0, nil-nil. Anthony Rothman reported it was boring enough already.
Bring back the shootout?
They brought the shootout back. They won it.
Great baseball stat here. Kyle Schwarber, 33 homers now this year. He got his 220th with the Phillies. So that ties him second all-time with Mark McGwire for the most home runs in the first 5 seasons with a franchise. So he needs 15 now in the final 62 to tie the all-time leader in that category, who is the one and only George Herman Ruth, a.k.a. the Babe. The other historic homer that happened this weekend was from the Royals, Salvi Perez, career homer number 315. So he's within 2 of Kansas City's all-time home run leader, George Brett. And there's nobody even close as an active Royal. So once he gets it, it's going to be his for a while. He was partying like a Roth star. We got The Floor Is Yours coming up top of the hour. The number is 821-9710. Best call gets the Skyline gift card. And TLC is waiting to receive you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were 6. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
CEC Turf and Tractor is growing. We're proud to welcome Green & Sons Equipment's Mount Sterling and Marysville locations. Same hometown service you trust, now with the strength of one of Ohio's largest Kubota dealers. Visit secturfandtractor.com today.
This is This Date in Reds Baseball with team historian Greg Rhodes.
At the Reds ballpark back in 1894, the bleacher seats were pretty close to the field, and balls that bounced into the seats were considered in play. Outfielders could hop the low fence and retrieve the ball. So in a game against Pittsburgh on this date, July 20th, the game tied in the bottom of the 10th inning, a Reds batter hit one into these seats. The Pittsburgh outfielder jumped the fence, but Reds fans took action. One tackled the outfielder, and another Reds rooter flashed his pistol to keep the outfielder out of the seats. And all the while, the Reds runners circled the bases, scoring the winning run. A strange but true tale from this July 20th, 1894, this date in Reds baseball.
This date in Reds baseball is brought to you by the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, presented by Dinsmore. Celebrating greatness, preserving history, providing inspiration.
Com. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. After 10 years, Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel will step down to the end of the calendar year as part of the conclusion of an investigation into the culture of its athletics department. In the wake of multiple scandals, the school also released a summary of an independent investigation into the athletics, concluding that issues were not widespread. The search for a new AD will start immediately. Baseball today, Guardians host the Twins at 6:40, while the Reds visit the Mariners at 9:40. Soccer, crew interim head coach Laurent Courtois said Max Arfston and Steven Moreira are expected to be available Wednesday at New York City FC in their return from the World Cup. Kickoff set at 7:30. This update is sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream is back at UDF. Right now, get two large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10. Get your calls into Rothman and Ice, for the floor is yours right here with a fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Time for your calls on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now, 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe,
I've never seen such incompetence,
or some praise.
You're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
All right, it's what you want. The floor is yours, 821-9710. Winner gets the Skyline gift card. Feeling good at Skyline time, enjoying a couple of cheese conies or a Skyline three-way always makes the day better. Maybe we get something on UM. Who knows? The athletics investigation found weaknesses in accountability, organizational structure, oversight, reporting created conditions in which misconduct was not always addressed consistently, promptly, or in accordance with university expectations. But with all that being said, Ward decided to voluntarily step away, but they're so grateful he'll hang on till the end of the season. It truly is unbelievable. It finally, whatever caught up with them finally did, but the heart of the conclusion for Michigan Athletics is this. Did the investigation or the culture review find that misconduct was widespread through Michigan's athletics department? And the answer is no. Neither the investigation nor the culture review found that misconduct was widespread throughout the department. All right. You look at everything, it sounds pretty widespread to me. But like you said, has it gotten into the areas that we haven't heard about yet? We don't know.
The cracks and crevices?
That's right. The nooks and crannies of now Michigan's athletic department. That's right. I don't want to see you. TLC, who's lined up?
Well, hello, we got a few for us, so let's start with Layla in Columbus.
Layla, the floor is yours.
What's up? I wanted to tell you guys that I work at a bar called S1 Tank. It's in the heart of campus, and it's more than just a bar and a restaurant. We have a live event venue stage with a turfed outdoor bar attached and two floors inside. This summer, we changed the entire place into a honky-tonk. So every Friday and Saturday, starting at 6, we have live bands and musicians performing across all three stages, with a Western-themed food menu, and we got line dancing on Tuesdays, more live music and bull riding competitions on Wednesdays. There's something crazy going on every week, day during the week. I just want to tell the people, especially the Saturday, the 25th, we're going to be having a giveaway for two tickets to see Joelle Stan perform at our bar on July 31st. You can check out our social media at Esalen Tank for any more info.
What a great little loophole you got. That's awesome. Do you think my man Bobby Carpenter could stay on for 8 seconds?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You kidding me? Last Wednesday, our winner was on for 32. Oh,
32.
Oh, you got to
up that speed.
No, two hands, dude. That's a violation.
It takes two hands to handle a whopper.
I stayed on a mechanical bull for 41 seconds. They let me go two hands.
Yeah, that's not the rules.
No.
It's like saying in
neither
soccer,
is screening if the I could calls, just
pick,
apparently.
If I could just pick the ball up and run it and throw it in the goal.
I just say, what's your name and where
that's
you from?
That's what I'm saying. It's one of the great loopholes that was
it's a lady.
It's a lady.
Brandon in New Albany has some minions out there.
Oh, my goodness.
He's going to call in maybe his Twitter account again.
Eric serves Clapton. Large 32-ounce tanks of beer. Sounds great.
I know. I didn't know if that was
knees, Layla. I thought we just kind of break into a little Clapton there.
Who stole from George Harrison?
Was it something that there was another song that sounded like it?
No, I'm saying the woman.
Oh, he stole Layla from George?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I did not know
that
part.
Her name wasn't Layla. I think there was that was a reference to something else, but it was about the woman, his wife that he took from George Harrison. Hmm.
I wish I had Jesse's girl, something like that.
Perhaps.
George's girl.
Pulling a Rick Springfield. All right, who's next?
Phil is in Grove City. Phil, we enjoy him. We got to drop with him somewhere.
Phil, what advertisement would you like to give us on the air?
I definitely wasn't prepared for that, but when she started, she didn't stop.
Like that.
She was rolling. Forget it, she's rolling.
Got a couple things for you guys. First off, much appreciate the flashback, man. This is great. I miss you two together.
It'd be
nice,
brother,
if we could have all four of you on there. Have Maddie, TLC, and you two. Man, you guys would dominate the airwaves.
That would be awesome, man. A full house backfield.
That would be awesome. Hey, first thing real quick, Anthony, have you had a chance to check out the Will Ferrell on Netflix, The Hawk?
Oh, The Hawk. I mentioned that last week when because Maddie thinks Will Ferrell is overrated. I don't. He may be oversaturated maybe in certain areas, like he's always a part of something, but no, I have not. You're telling me it dropped and you've watched it?
Yeah, me and the wife Ben watched it this past weekend, and needless to say, man, it's classic Will Ferrell. I mean, he's as big of an idiot in this show as he is in Talladega Nights. I mean, it's a great show, man. You definitely like it. There's a couple drops from some real golfers in it, too. It's pretty good, man. I think you like it.
Thank you, man. I will. I'm definitely going to watch it. And do you know how many seasons it's going to be?
No, I don't. I think we ended up making it to, like, episode 9. I think there's still a couple more to go, but it was definitely worth the watch, especially if you're a golf fan.
Let me ask you this, because you've seen Happy Gilmore, I assume. Has it got some of that? Does it feel like that to you or no?
Sort of. He's a washed up golfer that is playing the Corn Ferry Tour to try to get back onto the PGA Tour so that he can win his final major, and his son is kind of stepping in the way, and you got to watch.
Okay,
man.
All right.
It's a good watch.
Good job.
Hey, real quick, one other thing, too. So I'm a diehard Browns fan. I think you two was on the air, and this was years ago. I think it was Baker's sophomore year, and I actually emailed you, Anthony, about my daughter was in a wedding the season opener, and I was literally going to miss the wedding to watch the season opener for the Browns.
Okay.
And what I'm getting at here is, why is everybody sleeping so much on Cleveland? I mean, I know that it's the Browns, and I mean, they've just got the history in the past of just being jerk-offs, but I mean, like, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, and like I said, I'm a diehard. I was going to miss a wedding my daughter was going to be in for the season opener. But, I mean, if they can get just some sort of competency at the signal caller, that offense, man, if it clicks, dude, they've got some weapons, man.
Six wins, baby.
I need them to get to six, Phil. Just get me six. I'm with you. I think that's the mystery. I think the mystery around Bob is, Bob, I want to get your opinion on this, and maybe you and I have talked about this. I think the big conundrum in Cleveland right now is how good could they really be? And if Deshaun looks good, how good would he have to look for them to say, we need to give him a lot more money, he's our guy? And then you're basically stunting the growth of Shadur. So maybe this year is just going to be a combination where they'll both play and they'll figure out if they've got anything. But my question is, if they think that Deshaun has a future as a starting quarterback in this league, would they do it again?
Depends on, I think, what that number looks like. Like, you know, I think some of that would depend on what his market value is. I don't think his market value would be very high around the league. And also, what does he have to show you this year? Like,
got to stay healthy, obviously.
There's a principle in economics called sunk costs. Like, they've already paid him the $240 million. Like, you're not going back and getting that. But there is a personal element to it that it's hard to overlook that.
It's just the throwing good money after bad.
But here's the thing. But if he's good this year, he's not that old. Like, he could be your guy for the next 4 or 5 years, which is what you're trying to find as you build this thing. And I guess part of this equation is, what do you think you have in Shadur? Which I don't know that they think they have a ton. But we'll see, like, how he looks this year. Can he make a little bit of a jump? You know, and
will he get the opportunity?
Well, and that's the thing of how well does Deshaun play? I mean, if they're battling it out in camp.
Would you rather start or not the season? Because it's like Tampa and Jayville, and like, I wonder if you're better off playing.
Come in.
The second guy.
Be the reliever.
When things start to cook, yeah. You know, who knows? By the way, I found his email.
Really?
I found his email. I must keep everything. He wrote me in 2019.
Wow.
I have his email from July 25th of 2019. So 7 years ago. And
his daughter's getting married.
Yeah, his daughter's getting married. He says, so I'm having happen to me what I laugh when it happens to other people. I'm a diehard Browns fan. You won't find a bigger Browns fan than me. Well, he knows that I have found a bigger Browns fan than him. Right? This guy. That's my recording in the stairwell of the stadium. That guy is probably the guy. He says, I bleed orange and brown. My wife's best friend is getting married on opening Sunday.
Okay. Wife's best friend.
I was not aware of the date till this week. I told my wife, there's no way I'm missing the opener, especially this year. He goes, well, needless to say, she's not happy, but I have dug in. Oh, and I did mention my 3-year-old daughter is going to be in the wedding. That's the kicker also.
Oh, 3-year-old daughter.
At the time. So she's 10 now.
I just assumed that this would have been someone who was like a bridesmaid. I'm like, so what? But
this is when you and I were doing the show when I got this.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Dang.
The fact that that's 7 years ago now.
September 8th wedding.
Jeez. That makes me...
Who's having a September 8th wedding?
Well, I thought it was his daughter, which I was like, dude, you're in charge of it. What are we doing?
Yeah.
But it's his wife's friend. So maybe they're not sports people. All right.
We'll trickle some calls over next and we'll see who wins the gift card. Rothman.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Bird. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A lot of sunshine for the morning hours with a few more clouds drifting overhead during the afternoon. There'll be some patches of haze from the wildfire smoke as well, but not as bad as what we had at the end of last week. Highs today reached the mid-80s. For tomorrow, occasional rain and thunderstorms are likely. Few of those could be strong to severe in the afternoon with highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
The most wonderful people in the history of Western civilization. Rothman and Ice, 97.1 The Fan. It doesn't get any better than this.
All right, Carp in for the Iceman today. Having a blast, Rothman and Ice. We've got the floor is yours. Gift card still up for grabs, and TLC has who we got?
Mike's in West Jeff.
Mike in West Jeff, the floor is yours.
Hey, fellas. Just want to say I've been a listener a long time, even back in the day. Number one, it's like a two-part question here. Number one, who's better at trivia between the two of you? Because you guys both have the greatest facts, greatest movie quotes. The general has the history. Who's taking home a W in trivia?
I guess it depends on what topic it is, man. I mean, that'd be a tough one. I mean, I'm older, so maybe I could go back a little further than Bob, but it's amazing the stuff that sticks in my brain and his. I think we're kind of kindred spirits in that way. We like a lot of the same movies, so that helps. But I don't know. I mean, you don't do a lot of trivia contests, do you?
No, I've done one at Grandview Cafe. I mean, this was 15 years ago, maybe even longer. I don't even know if I had kids yet. It's probably 20. Yeah. It's been a long time. Yeah, so I haven't done one.
We'd be great on a team.
I always kind of like to, in theory, go do it, but they're always on like Tuesday and Wednesday nights, and I'm like, I don't try to wake up pretty early. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot that goes into it. I'm getting old, man.
Shark was a great one too, but to follow this up here, this is more a sports related question. Been watching the World Cup. I'm trying to get into it. You know, we had USA bow out a little bit early, but I'm remembering back in 2005, and my hero Bobby Carpenter breaks his leg, goes out on the field, and still runs off. We don't lay around flopping on the ground like a fish. I need a comment from Bobby. I need Schlegel to get out there and get these guys tougher. What am I doing? What am I seeing here?
That I will tell you this. My dad goes, I love watching soccer. He goes, I can't watch this crap. He's like, watching these guys flail and flop. And the problem is that with the introduction of Europeans into the NBA, that is what the NBA has turned into now, largely, which is atrocious. And so I agree with you. It makes it real. It really makes it a tough product to consume because it's really tough to officiate and adjudicate for the refs. So I get it. They lay down there and the guys pop up. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, it's not that bad, buddy. Show me a dude that's got like a cleat stuck in his leg or something like that or something real. But like very rarely, like some of those guys have legit stuff and then you see them come out. But oftentimes they lay there and they roll and then the refs like play on and then they kind of just hop up and run. It's like dealing with my 8-year-old kid. You know, you're not hurt. I'm crying a little more. I ignore your crying. You just get up and keep playing.
At the highest level, I can't stand it.
Yeah,
like, I don't understand. I know there are some people like, you got to sell it. It's like a guy driving to the rack in basketball. You're selling contact. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if certain guys do it better than others. But, yeah, when your season ended that time, that was rough. But
it's 21 years ago,
ankle?
Robin.
It was an ankle, right? Not a leg, right?
I broke the right ankle.
Yeah.
Broke my other leg when I was in high school.
How did she feel today? Okay.
Yeah, it cracks a lot, you know. Okay. Sounds like popcorn when I'm walking around sometimes, but we're doing all right.
And launched your boy, Laurinaitis, true freshman.
Yeah,
coming in. Got to go in there.
33 off the bench.
All right, who's next?
We got Danny in Delaware next.
Danny in Delaware. Your dime, your dance floor.
Boys, I like to say happy Monday, but it's not a happy Monday. I'm actually very pissed off right now. I'm going to also say sorry to the Danny in Delaware content creators because we're going a little rogue today. I had three great opportunities to win a lot of freaking money this weekend. And guess what? 0-for-3. So I had my member guest golf outing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Started off great. We were the number one point team after Friday. Going into Saturday, we're feeling good. We're feeling happy. My partner, the A player, the member, doesn't show up. I wish I could curse on the radio. He poo-poos the bet. We'll just say that. So we ended up tying for the wild card spot and going into a chip-off. Well, we didn't win the chip-off. And then when we get to the end of it, realized that he did not put all of our bets down for our team. So we also came in second place for the pari-mutuel. Yeah, no, he didn't bet. We lost $800. So I leave that tournament with just the biggest kick to, yes, you know what. So then we go into Sunday. Okay, we got two more other opportunities between the Open Championship and the World Cup.
Cam Young. Why can't we make a par on 18, buddy? You played amazing on Sunday. You were, what, like 600, and then you decided to bogey 18? I mean, come on, man. You said 151 going into the I can't even talk. I'm very disturbed right now. And then Argentina, VA Argentina, yeah, they couldn't get it done. I thought the picture of Messi bathing them all, and, I thought it'd be exciting. One question there. Where were Messi's hands in that picture? It's very disturbing. Either way, I'm done betting for a while. I can't stand it. And that leads me to say this. I actually want to make a bet with you guys. So I was going to wait until later in the year, but Mr. Rothman, you have a bet with Adam King, the Kirby Door salesman, to win 6 games for the Browns. We're going to one up. If the Browns win 7 games, I have been a part-time employee for almost a year now. If the Browns win 7 games, I get to come into the studio for one day, push some buttons, maybe, say the script in between calls and stuff like that. And then if they lose, I get to buy you guys roosters for the day. We'll figure out a time, whether before or after the show, but let's keep this losing train going. Mm. Would you accept my bet?
So I don't know if I have the authority to accept that bet of having you press buttons in the studio. That may be...
Have we ever had a caller on this station try to make a bet to become a producer instead of becoming a host for a day?
I don't recall that at all. I don't know if anybody's
Most
ever wanted
aim
to
aim higher.
No, well, I don't know if anybody's ever... I don't know, Bob. We've had shadows that maybe we've talked to on the air before.
Oh, yeah.
People
the
that
people have the pizza parties, yeah, though. I mean, how's this any different than that?
Just throw them on the air?
Toss them in there. Comes on anyway, Rothman.
I mean, I'm okay with taking the bet. I mean, I want him to win 6. So he's got to...
I don't think they're going 7-10.
No, that doesn't feel right. So we're going to get a free meal out of it.
Sure.
So, of course, we'll accept the bet.
Roosters.
You can sit in there in TLC's aquarium and swim around with him and press
the
buttons.
You think he has more integrity than the people at the station here in paying off his bets?
I don't know.
His last name Lannister.
I think so.
Oh, no, he does. Yes.
I think because he's a weekly caller, yeah.
There's so many bets that are just thrown around here willy-nilly that no one's paying anything.
I know. I still got to have Ice read up that. You know what? Maybe we'll do that heading into
football
season.
That one's a big one. They made a bet. TLC made a bet with Maddie on the Ravens-Steelers game. And
I have to script
Maddie him. Lost.
So Maddie has to do 3 updates at 12:18, 1:18, and 2:18. And they're my scripted updates that I write for him, and he has to cold copy read them.
That's
fine. Which is fine, but I thought the bet was where he actually had to do the updates.
Yeah.
Like the real updates, not one that he wrote for him.
Like no, I want him to say what I want him to say.
Yeah, it's almost harder to cold read somebody else's stuff.
But he has to cold read it. He doesn't get to look at it beforehand.
No, because then he's going to censor himself. Then he's going to make some editorial.
You want Ron Burgundy out here is what you're saying.
Yes.
I
don't want him pump faking on something where he's like, I don't want to read that.
When is this going to happen?
Maybe heading into football season.
There was a maybe in there.
You know, why not do it next Monday?
How about Wednesday, September 6th? Wait. No, September 9th. That's Wednesday of Seahawks-Patriots. That's
however you want to get it done. I think it needs to get done before the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Wednesday, September 6th.
All right, who gets 9th.
Jeez, Lord.
Who gets the Skyline card?
Mike and West Jeff is going to get it.
Mike and West Jeff feeling good at Skyline time, enjoying a couple of cheese conies or a Skyline three-way. Always makes the day better. All right, we've got Adam King on standby. We're probably going to float him to 140-ish, 145.
He's attempting to interview Brandon Innes as we speak. And okay. So you have that to look forward to on 10 TV, perhaps, if they actually perform the interview.
All right, so we'll have Adam later this hour. And up next, we'll hit a little bit on the Open Championship and the story outside of the champion, which is all about Bryson DeChambeau and whether he cheated or not and what the other guys think of it. You'll hear it next. Rothman
and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
I think this would still be a big story, even if a guy like Scottie Scheffler had won the Open Championship, because It's Bryson. And it's been everywhere. The second round of the Open over the weekend on Friday, he was given a two-stroke penalty for, this is the important word, inadvertently improving his lie on the fifth hole. I believe he knew what he was doing. I think he just justified it. Hit the ball in the thatch. Where you could maybe back him is that when people were looking for the ball, they were trampling down all that grass. And then when he got in there and they found it, he is a professional golfer who's won majors. He knows exactly where, what he needs to get that ball out of there. And you need a little bit of a back swing. And or you're going to come down, or you're going to have to come down too steep with it. And he made sure that when, now I think he is entitled, to go back on that line behind the ball, as long as he's not, like they said, inadvertently improving his lie.
Well, if you're allowed to go back behind the ball, though, Rothman, like that's there's such a high degree of subjectivity.
I understand.
That. And it's a two-stroke penalty. Now, I understand. What did they win at?
It was big.
Was it 10 under?
Yes.
And so this is on Friday. So he's at goes from 4 under to 2 under because of that with a two-stroke penalty. So he's in the thick of it right there. I mean, he's in contention. And to do that on something that's so highly subjective, I have a real problem with that. You better make darn sure you know exactly what's going on. And here's the reality. Bryson's been a jerk. A lot of people don't like him. Rory's coming out throwing dirt on him, and it's fine. Like, he made his own bed. I just have a problem when you have subjective rules that you're going to selectively enforce on someone that you really don't enjoy just because of how they've handled themselves in the wake of Liv and all the stuff they've said and everything else.
It is subjective, but it's also somewhat objective in that they could see what he was doing. So, did they do that with everybody? I would hope so. I mean, Rom threw his club earlier in the tournament, and they gave him a warning. They didn't have to, because Joaquin Niemann at the previous tournament threw his club. Now, he threw it maybe farther or whatever, but Rom bounced it down the tee box in a major. They could have easily given him the two-shot penalty, and they didn't. And I also feel like every group has a rules official walking with them. And I don't believe that the burden is on them. I believe the burden's on the player. And the official is there to ask, and, hey, I need a correct ruling on this, or if I missed something. I still think this is on Bryson. The amazing part is he threatened to leave the tournament, and now there's a story that, I don't know if you believe this, that he was, I don't know whether he's joking or whether this was real, that he was going to call the president because.
There
so,
we go.
He says DeChambeau was reportedly so upset that he threatened to not return to play the next day. He later took things a step further when he requested the president of the United States be involved in his efforts to protest the ruling.
I'm stopping the president.
I mean, he got the dude back from, he claims he got the guy back for the United States soccer team.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Figure it out.
And then Tiger, that little clip, when Tiger had his rollover, hey, just thought, I'd let you know. I was talking to the president, if that means anything.
That's great. You're already Tiger Woods, dude. I mean, I don't know if you need to flex any harder on that.
You have Rory on this. And yes.
I've been happy with Rory, and I'm going to be salty that he goes out here and throws dirt on somebody.
You are, because you and I.
I liked him. I like him.
I do, because he stood up for the tour, and he stood up for the guys. They made him the poster child of the tour when all the guys were defecting to Liv. And they made him eat all of that, and he, you know, kind of hung in there. Now, he's not fond of him, like you said. There's going to be some personal bias. And I said last week, I was on Team Bryson when he was going through the stuff with Brooks Koepka. I really was. Well, I thought Brooks Koepka was clowning him way too much. And I feel
I like Brooksy a lot better than Bryson.
At that time, I didn't really have a... But you were either on one team or the other, and I thought he was clowning him. I thought it was like almost, it was way over the top. It was like almost like adult bullying in a way. Like he was just making a clown out of him. And I think my personal opinion was he was a little bit insecure that Bryson was
bigger than him,
getting more popular than him, whether because Brooks had more majors and he had, you know, and Bryson was this guy, the scientific golfer, could hit it a country mile and all this. But here's
all the clubs are the same length.
All the clubs are the same length and all this stuff. He was so Rory ripped Bryson when he heard about all the theatrics that went involved with this ruling.
So I was watching it live. I was up in the players' lounge watching it with a few other players. And as soon as he made the step into the ball, we all sort of looked at each other and were like, that didn't seem right. And then when I heard that he was, you know, he was called in by the rules officials, I think we all, it was pretty obvious for why. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think there's no doubt that he improved the line of his backswing. So, you know, and again, it's like whether it was careless or whether it was intentional, I don't think it matters. Hopefully it was careless. But I think the two-shot penalty was justified for sure.
What do you think of the scenes after? Obviously, you guys were delayed getting your tea times as well because of it all going on.
Late night for everyone.
Yeah.
I won't pretend to be up here and defend Bryson. I'm not particularly fond of him. I think a lot of it's performative. I think a lot of it's for attention. And yeah, you know, to hold the tournament hostage like that and have all of us, volunteers, players, everyone waiting on him to depart, I didn't feel like it was a great look.
I think it's honest. I respect the fact that he says I'm not particularly
fond of him. So at least then everybody knows that what you're saying, like, you're not a fan of his. As opposed to, you know, I really like Bryson, but this is just what it is, even if you don't. And so I respect that about him, that he at least did that. But like, it was clear and obvious. I mean, I guess I don't know the rules on it. I'm like, I saw a guy going looking for his ball. Why are we playing in a cow pasture anyway in the middle of a field? Put some trees on that thing and get some water out there and make it look like a real golf course. Yeah. But, I mean, that's just one man's opinion.
He stomped around. He knew what he was doing. I think.
How often does that happen, though, and nothing is done? So, that's my point.
Okay. So it's a great point you just made. And I'll back it up with this. So Russell Henley was asked about this.
Yeah.
He said, son? Guys like, yeah.
Always a son.
If only. So he said that guys like Bryson are always on TV.
Yeah.
Always on TV. He goes, this could happen anywhere with any other player, and they, quote, get away with it. They just do. But he's got to know who he is, and he's up high on the leaderboard. The coverage is going to be on him. But if he hadn't just stomped around all that enough to, like, because I think he's the one that made it very suspicious the way he was doing it. He fundamentally made the decision to kind of walk all the way around the golf ball and stomp enough down where he could get in there and make a play on it. But the players justify it. They do. Any player would. Any professional player would think, okay, what do I have to do within the rules to? Because they always say the rules are your friend. Well, clearly they weren't in this case. I watched it live, and like I said, this isn't a rookie on tour. This is a guy that knows what he's doing, and he clearly bent the rules there. But we've seen this with other guys before. We've seen it. We've seen them kind of flirt on that line with it. So McIlroy, he's going to get roasted a little bit because he's not the most perfect guy in the course as far as like temper and throwing clubs and all that. But this is about the rules. And Bryson showed up. And what he was talking about was Bryson saying, I don't know if I'm playing tomorrow. I'll let you know, basically. So what now? Whoever you're paired with has to have some marker play with him or like, I don't know.
What's a marker?
A marker is a guy who would not be in the tournament but would play in place of Bryson.
Why do you need another player?
Keep the pace of play correct, because if you go out as a single, it's going to ruin your whole rhythm of the tournament because you're playing behind.
Get a rando.
Well, so like not you, just a rando, a guy so that like, clearly is good enough.
You could go out. No. Someone like you that beat Tiger Woods at the Memorial.
Some guy that would be there. I don't know how they figure that out.
Just like the third goalie in the stands.
The e-bug, the emergency.
Yeah, they just pull out. I mean, how do you get to sign up to be one of those guys?
I don't know. You got to be good enough somewhere along the line.
I
think if it happened at Memorial, you would have...
You.
You'd have a member, probably, of Muirfield Village that was scratch or better that probably could go out there and play as a marker, but
what if they're already drunk, though?
Then cross him off the list. Find somebody who, the player or the marker or both.
Oh.
He's Bryson DeChambeau. He's the guy that you can find out about me on my YouTube channel. I'm not going to talk to the media. And I have talked to him. Like when he won the Memorial and they brought him back as the defending champ, he hosted a lot of the media out at the range and we all talked to him and he couldn't have been nicer. Like my personal experience with him has been great. I've rooted for him. I think he's pretty serious about the game. He knows what he's doing. He's clutch. He's come up big. He's competitive. Like, he's kind of like a little bit of he was kind of like the modern day John Daly in a way. Like, just so unique. Could hit the ball forever. But, and then when the whole Brooks thing came up, I told you, I was backing him completely. I'm like, all right, enough of this already with Brooks. Like, going after him on every occasion. And then he was getting called Brooksy on, you know, on the course because Koepka apparently was more popular than him, but this is where we are. He almost made a run at it, but he's obviously not that well respected amongst his peers, which is too bad because he's damn good. All right, we'll come back. Do you think Mr. King is back in the building? I see him. He'll join us next. Roth Dublin.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and The Fan 3. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, he's fresh in. Fresh off the line. He's Adam King, 10 TV. Let me mic you up, my man. There you go.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's my favorite part of the week. It's good to know that it's Maddie's as well and Bobby Carpenter's.
Yeah, you know, we've been looking forward to this.
Yeah,
you were a floater today.
I was.
We had you at 1:30.
Listen, you know, sometimes things don't always work out. So I do apologize about that. It won't happen again. I can promise you that.
All right, so I'll get your quick opinion on this. You saw the Bryson DeChambeau chirping at the officials and all that and stomping around. We've seen this before. We've seen Dustin Johnson do it. We've seen other guys go in to try to find their ball. People are looking for it. But he really stomped down with that left foot. And my contention is he knew what he was doing. I don't know if the rules official had the perfect eye on it right at that point where he could, it's not like a football game where they're throwing a flag, you know.
What's he doing then?
Well, he's there, but
I agree with Bobby on that.
But hang on. He's not reffing the round of golf, I don't believe. I think he's there for advice and ruling, and they call him in. Like, I've heard guys say that it's the rules officials aren't refs. They're consultants. Like, the burden's on the player to make the correct decision. And if he doesn't, then the rules official, you know, I mean, he could miss something, is my point.
Well, I mean, that's
kind of... It doesn't matter. It's still the player, I guess, who's at fault.
So then who makes that ultimate ruling? What, some guy watching on TV back in the office?
Or the RNA reviewing and watching the television broadcast.
So my thing is, if they have a player who did something that they don't have on broadcast that wasn't being filmed at that current time, then how do they adjudicate that?
You can't.
So that's my point. Like, it's subjective ruling. Like, you're picking and choosing here. So if all the guys are playing the same game, there needs to be somebody there that either A...
Every shot needs to be on camera.
Yeah, every shot needs to be on camera, or the rules official needs to be the guy that changes it. And whether or not it's ruled correctly at the time, whatever is said there is what's going to be going
on. So basically what you're saying is the guy in 40th place does that. It's the same as the guy who's doing it that's in 5th.
Yes.
I would argue that I watch too much golf. Doesn't matter if it's the Masters or if it's the TPC Houston, I'll watch it. And I don't know that are you not entitled to a backswing in your practice swing? Are you not entitled to that?
Well, yeah, you can have a backswing, but you're not entitled to it. You're, if that makes sense.
But I mean, I can...
No, you're not entitled to, quote, improve the line of your...
But I'm entitled to my swing. So if I want to take 15 swings and just, you know, trying to get...
No, that would be improving the...
See, that's such...
The line.
Yet you can sit there and pick the little straw pieces out of
those
the ball.
Those are loose impediments.
Yeah. Those
that, the grass is yeah, actually in yeah. the ground.
You know what? Let me ask you a question. Did you spend the weekend with the RNA in Scotland over there? Like, goodness gracious. You know, it is what
you
it,
can't just go in there with a... Use your club as a weed whacker
I'm not saying anything that isn't out of the element of my normal swing. My whole point is, with all of this, the craziest part that no one's talking about is, first of all, he took an incredibly steep backswing. He intentionally went steep at it. He didn't need all that room back there. He wasn't even using it. Go watch the actual swing. And so I think that has to matter. Now, I am not a Bryson defender. I think he's fine. I think he's good for the game for some people. But I do think it's a little silly that we're going back and pinpointing the exact moment. I thought when I saw it happen, okay, that
it
was
looked
a little,
normal.
I thought it was a little odd the way that he was, you know, kind of high kneeing it around there.
Meandering around.
Meandering is a good word. I was like, well, that's a little, but if
maybe
I'm,
he was trying to find a good place to take a leak.
Yeah, you never know. You never can tell. You never can tell, kid. Yeah. And so I don't know. I think it's a little bit ridiculous. I think it's a good thing that he didn't lose by two strokes. I'll say that.
Rule. I'm going to read you the rule.
Oh,
I don't have to.
You know what else is a rule in golf?
Sounded exhausted when
exactly.
I said
that. Let's hear.
I wanted to be able to speak intelligently on the subject, there I thought I'd give you the rule.
I didn't know that's what I'm here to do.
Well, you said you started this whole thing. I watch a lot of golf.
I do.
So instant credibility there, right? Is exactly. that what you're trying to put out there? So want everybody to know.
Peddle some knowledge.
I'm not just some casual guy that shows up every now and then.
That's right. So read me the rule.
Rule 8.1 explicitly prohibits moving, bending, or breaking any growing natural objects. Players cannot press down or alter the surface in any meaningful way. It's like driving a little over the speed limits. It's not allowed. So even though most who do it get away with it, if you're seen doing it, they have the right, the responsibility to look into it, which is okay. what they did. So that's what the RNA did. So now, would it have been better, like Bob said, had the officials explained, you know, a little more what was happening?
Hey, Bryson, you're getting on the edge right here, buddy.
Like, yeah, you're meandering, looking for a spot to pee. Let's, you know, let's get back on your ball.
He kind of argued that he discussed the matter and how they ultimately decided the penalty was needed, sure, but I know
what about
is that...
in your actual swing, Rothman? You've got the rule book right there. In your actual swing, am I allowed to break anything behind me? If I'm hitting my 6-iron and I know that I'm taking out that tree limb and I give it my full bore to break that tree limb to make sure that it doesn't impact my swing, am I breaking the rule?
In your swing itself?
In my actual swing, not a backswing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Not a practice swing, I mean.
I've seen guys... I'm trying to picture what exactly you're saying. You're standing over the ball.
I'm standing over the ball.
Like he was. He hadn't stomped down anything yet.
No, and I just power it through, and all those...
As it's coming back down...
It breaks everything.
I think that's okay.
You think it's okay? I think that it's golf's fourth major, and we shouldn't be thinking. You know? I think we should have rules. This is a gentleman's game, and I, for one, won't stand for it. And I think that the fact that Jay Fox, and every year... For the Open Championship, we find a new random golfer to win.
Jay Fox?
Jay Fox is the guy that works
here.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
You didn't pick up on the joke, so I was moving
on. I know, I did pick up on it. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that you did it intentionally or inadvertently, Bryson. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe you inadvertently named the wrong champion.
No. Well, am I not allowed to name who I
was? No, I thought it was great. But
I just am so tired of the random Open Championship winner. It happens every year, does it not?
I mean, you were so... convinced that Robert McIntyre was going to win. I think that's where this is coming from.
It's a lot of hatred out of that. You know what? I said a sentence on Saturday night. Somebody said, how do you feel about Bobby Mack? And I said, well, if he shoots a 62, he can win. And they said, what an insane line to say. And I said, well,
that's what Ryan Fox did.
There's three 62s on the course already. And you know what Bobby Mack did? He went out there and shot a 71.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the randomness of it. I'm with Bob. I mean, I don't love that kind of golf. I wouldn't normally crave that kind of golf, but I, you know, once a year, I think this is a cool thing.
Can I ask, do we have enough time for me to ask one random question about it?
Of course you do.
It's a complete pivot. I
mean, you can stick around if you want to.
It's about the World Cup.
However long you want.
Yeah.
They play on natural grass for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And now all across those stadiums, they're going to rip them up and throw them in the trash.
Well, I mean,
how do you feel about that?
I mean, they did some significant alterations to be able to get it in there. Like in Texas, they have those, in Dallas, they have those grow lights that are coming up and down from the ceiling. Like, I never minded playing on turf.
Okay.
I like to practice on grass more than play on it. Once a week wasn't bad, but it would be better if they did it. The owners don't care, and they don't want to spend the money on it. It's way more expensive to upkeep natural grass than it's just throwing turf. You spend $1 million to throw turf in, and it's done. And now, especially everybody wants these multi-purpose stadiums, so you have to find ways to grow things inside, and that takes effort, time, and also like having concerts on it and everything. Mm-hmm. Like it just
good point.
It limits.
Look what's happened with the Reds outfield. Have you seen that? The natural grass was destroyed by the Noah Kahn concert.
Yeah.
So you talk about.
And that happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's like Central Park. It was designed in 1850 by Joe Pepitone, you know, so the Civil War, so the Union Army would be able to practice on grass.
Bobby, when you were with the Dolphins, were you still playing on baseball
fields? Was that real? Did you just recite?
Not when I was there, but I played.
During the Civil War.
I played on that when it was. My second year,
I played there
in Dallas. I played there and I played in Oakland. At least in Miami's, it's all in one corner. Oakland's was in the middle of the field. Like you would start in grass, like on some like long runs. Like you would start in grass, go to dirt, and come back to grass.
That's great. That's what you're looking for.
At least in Miami, like once you got to the dirt, you knew you were in the dirt. Yeah. Once you got to the grass, like I'm safe again. Because it matters how you cut. I mean, you're on those cleats on that hard dirt, and they're not metal spikes like baseball. They don't sink in. I mean, it's like wearing cleats on blacktop. Like, you slide a lot. So, yes, it was a mess. Thankfully, they got that out of there.
My final question for Bobby. Replacing Matty Ice for the day, do you watch Love Island?
No, I don't watch any reality TV. The only reality TV I watch is
Rothman and Ice.
Well, I watch sports. That's the ultimate reality TV. Maybe
you got one show in there.
Maybe Cops in there. The Cops Cops was the original. I mean, Love Island is the lowest. First of all, I refuse to watch them
because
the production quality on them is so low. Like, they bring these Yahtzees in there. They don't pay them anything. These people are starved to be famous. They're incredibly profitable for the networks because they don't have to pay anybody. There's no acting. There's a limited script. You give these people some booze and they're morons anyway, and they go act like they
give them the platform. You're giving them the platform.
I mean, you might as well just go to the zoo and like throw some food in a freaking.
You're not supposed to throw food, Bobby. They say don't throw the food at animals.
Yeah, that's what they are. I mean, these people are
no flash photography.
They're animals.
Adam, before you go, can you explain this audio that we've captured from the Buckeye Show?
Give it to me.
What's this clapping in the background?
Give it to me.
It was a snapping. I don't think it was a clap.
No, that's what he's like, come, Gary. Come.
That's Gary on the kick drum. Come. I'll just sit here and enjoy the
this as well.
I'll just sit here and enjoy the banging that he's doing.
What's coming up in the next segment?
There's a tricky balance for a certain team that is trying to get this star to come back, perhaps.
More on that. Rothman.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Michigan AD Ward Manuel will step down at the end of the calendar year. In the wake of multiple scandals, the school also released a summary of an independent investigation into the athletic department, concluding that issues were not widespread. College football, SEC Media Day is underway from Tampa. Commissioner Greg Sankey said the league continues to oppose the Protect College Sports Act, and there are real talks for the SEC to break away. While Missouri All-American running back Ahmad Hardy is medically cleared after a May 10th gunshot wound to his upper leg, and Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer's at full strength after being plagued by a hand injury last season. Baseball today, Guardians host the Twins at 6:40. Then later tonight, Reds visit the Mariners at 9:40. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Motion.
shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Final hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. Bobby Carpenter in today. Happy or long for the ride. We'll have Ian Fitzsimmons, bottom of the hour at 2:30. All right. So you heard the update with Tyler about Ward Manuel. This is clearly they want a former alum and a guy that's, you know,
been, I'm a Michigan man,
been at the head of some championships. They don't want his legacy to be, we canned him because he couldn't keep watch over things that have made us look awful. Like, but if you really believe the investigation or whatever it was,
really
well, if you believe what they're telling you or what I've read, that he knew all about Sharone Moore and Paige Stiver.
I had talked about this whenever this was going on. People had brought this to me, like, hey, have you heard about this? This was like back in May or April of the like prior year. And I just thought they did that investigation, Rothman, and said they didn't find anything. Like, well, they're choosing not to find it because people are randomly asking me about it. So obviously it's like fairly common knowledge up there within the program.
Yeah, that he knew for over a year before Sharone Moore was fired.
There's text messages telling him not to have her fly that you brought up earlier. Yeah. I mean,
they just paid so many millions to investigate this.
This was even when Harbaugh was there.
Yeah, and the findings aren't going to be disclosed to the public. I don't even know if this has anything
like
to do with...
There's text messages that they said Harbaugh knew that I guess she had an abortion or something that was going on like with during this. And
well,
like,
that's what she had claimed that.
But there's like messages around it and like things where other people outside of her and Moore that would have known this and like been aware of it, which is crazy town.
The report also detailed how their relationship developed. She started working as an intern. This was back in 2021. And a month later, he was messaging her on Instagram, and that the physical part of the relationship began in early 22 on a recruiting trip. And that's what you just talked about. She went to a hospital to get treated for postpartum depression, and she texted the coach about it. She texted more about Michigan's head coach at the time, Jim Harbaugh. Mr. Harbaugh helped me get into the person here. Don't worry, he doesn't know everything and won't. Just knows I'm not well. Like, honestly, I don't know how they escaped this part where Ward Manuel is not being tabbed with having knowledge of all this. But either way, they've given him a soft line. Listen, the longer he sticks around, the more that there's a chance that he's going to be faced with trying to answer.
Oh, yeah.
And not just going away. So... But the timeline of the situation is big because 2 days before the opener in 24, before Moore had even coached a game, Ward Manuel had reportedly raised the concerns about his relationship with her, that she couldn't accompany him on trips.
And then we take the trips.
And that was in August of 24. And then more than a year passed between that note being written and him being fired for cause. So a lot of allegations there, and somehow... they are holding this line of, we just have to be better. No real details, just almost like a self-reflection in a way. But there you are. I think the report of him knowing about Sharone Moore and Paige Shiver a year before the firing, certainly. Part of this is looking the other way. Like, just looking the other way. Things are going okay. We're winning some football games. We're getting some recruits.
I think you famously said they come for the wins.
That's right. They come for the win. What do they come for? The wins.
They're getting a lot of them. Those trophies are heavy. When you get the scales of justice out, remember this in life, Cole. When you get the scales of justice out, trophies are heavy. National championship ones are the heaviest.
So they can outweigh a lot of bad stuff.
You can dump that on the side. All of a sudden, it looks a little different. Now, when you're not winning anymore, then it becomes really convenient.
I'll keep that in mind. I don't know what trophies I can bring. Maybe I can steal some of Rothman's Emmys.
Oh, yeah. He piles those on there.
Yeah.
Bring the dump truck back.
Those are nuts.
How do you think he gets away with everything here?
That's right. That's right.
He's got a Sharone Moore style resume.
All right. I'm going to switch the subject. The Aaron Donald potentially coming back to the Rams. So there's a lot of speculation whether this becomes a reality. He's been working out. The rumors around him coming back are
Speaking of reality, yeah. like reality TV, will this be as big a comeback as Kim Kardashian's?
I didn't know. Like, I'm not familiar. I don't follow that. I don't know.
Chris Pratt talked about it one time. I mean, it was a comeback of a different sort, but I mean, there was.
I honestly don't follow
How do you
any
spell comeback?
That.
Well, that's a great question. Okay. I think it might be one letter shy.
She's dating Lewis Hamilton, right? The race car driver?
I think that he...
I don't know. Maybe I was drunk one night and told her I was a race car driver. I don't know. No, you don't think so?
No, I think he... Yeah. I think they are.
So...
I follow him, and I think he posted it recently.
I don't really know what is she coming back to? Like, what was she... You mean the keeping up with the Kardashians
From Ray
deal?
J, I think.
Seems like a while ago. Well, I really don't know what's happening.
It's been a great opportunity for her. Aaron Donald, though, him coming back, I think, what do you think the polymark, you know what, I don't even know how the polymarkets work. People have just said, stuff gets like sent to me. It finds me.
I don't know. Can
I
you bet on that? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, not in Ohio you can, but in other places you can't, which I don't know why we can't.
Here's your boy Breer saying that the Rams haven't pushed him. They've told him they'd love to have him, but they want the decision to be his.
Whoa, here we go. So, they give you the real-time data. It's like watching a stock, Rothman. It's great. Polymarket, pro football, Aaron Donald to sign with any team before the 2026 regular season. On July 12th, it was 86%. Now, then it dipped down to 62, back up on July 13th to 86.
Did it dip on the Myles Garrett trade?
When was that trade?
TLC would have to get us that date.
But it got all the way up to 87 on July 16th, and then it's been 63, 60. Now it's 50-50 as of now.
It's a roster decision for them. I know
They'll take him.
Okay.
I promise you that. Because what he can do, number one, if he's coming back, this goes back to like the LeBron James decision. You know, we're choosing family. Like, how beat up is my body? A couple things he's got to ask himself, Roth. Let's make the list, like to check the boxes. Can I physically do what I need to do and like go out there and be a elite high level performer? I think the answer to that is yes. The next question is, do I want to train to do what it takes to get there? Because that's going to take a lot of sacrifice. How bad am I going to feel while I'm doing this, Rob? This goes back to your little, the double eagle that you had at Valhalla and driving the race car.
That's right.
Except you got to do that every week for however long. And some of the Rams can help them with some of this. Like, hey, Aaron, we don't need you week one. Why don't you start getting ready? We'll bring you back. We can sign you midseason. You can work your way into shape for a couple games, play like the last five or six. And we need you ready for the stretch run. So, like, they can kind of help that. Maybe another box is family. Like, I've enjoyed being around my family and, you know, not competing. But you get out there, and the thing is, he probably thinks himself, I'm going to be playing beside Myles Garrett, and I can probably go play 15 to 20 snaps for probably 4 to 6 regular season games, maybe 8.
They got other guys that they like, too. Fisk.
This guy's one of the best defensive tackles in the history of the game.
He played for 2 years.
But he also, when he walked out of there, it wasn't like he limped his way out of there. He was still playing at a really high level. And I'm not saying that they're going to like cut their starters. Here's the thing. Those guys are going to say, great, we can have another elite player come in who can be a rotational guy that's going to play 15 to 20 snaps. I don't think they're thinking he's coming in and going to go play 45 to 50 snaps a game. No. You're going to be a guy who we're going to get you 10 to 20, depending on the game and how things are going. We want you to be ultra fresh. You get a handful of series. And you know what? When it's 3rd and 8 and we got to get off the field at the end of the game, we're putting Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald right beside each other. We're going to construct a defensive front where you have to one-on-one both of those guys. Yeah. And we are betting that they will beat you.
I love the point of structuring this for his strengths, his age, and how he can contribute.
The thing is, like, if he's coming back, he's not doing this to say, I want $20 million. No, I'm going to come back, pay me a couple million bucks, man, just to make it look like it's worth my time.
But situational defender.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. And you've seen that happen before. Like, you can do that on defense. And so you bring him in just at the right time. Pop out when the time is right.
Exactly. Rams would only need, I guess, a smaller version of him. We'll examine that. And would this rule change everything? You'll hear it next, Rothman.org.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
We go 85 yards through the heart of the South, Ohio State versus Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A lot of sunshine for the morning hours with a few more clouds drifting overhead during the afternoon. There'll be some patches of haze from the wildfire smoke as well, but not as bad as what we had at the end of last week. Highs today reached the mid-80s. For tomorrow, occasional rain and thunderstorms are likely. Few of those could be strong to severe in the afternoon with highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, so there's a rule that they're contemplating. I don't know how real this would be. If the NFL adopted the UFL's field goal rule. So, I'm intrigued by this. Even though a 60-yard field goal is now, feels like, a 60-yard field goal today feels like what a 40-yard field goal was like in maybe the, late 70s, early 80s, or like,
I would say that you feel on a 60-yard field goal, assuming conditions are good and it's not like crazy windy, you know, or freezing cold.
Remember, real quickly, back then there weren't these domes, and the whole game was outdoors.
All outside, yeah. So, now it's all inside.
Yeah, now a 60-yard field goal inside.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what that equivalent
is. Feel people breathing on each
38
other.
38-yarder.
Yeah, I would say that you probably. I don't know if I'd equate it to a 38-yarder, but I would say you feel better than 50-50, maybe 60-40 that you're going to make that. Like, we have a good shot at this going in. Not like this is a prayer. Probably not even 50-50. It's probably 60-65% you feel pretty good about.
Even a guy who's not a great field goal kicker accuracy-wise, you just get a banger, and you get a guy that might be able to get you one. Anyway, so the 60-yard field goal.
We can see what Chad says.
Would be 4 points. Oh, Chad knows all.
What is the success rate?
This is the AI version of the question.
Yeah, they're 12 for 22 in 2025, over 60 yards. So I said a little bit better than half. Like,
yeah, there you go.
Pretty good.
So this would boost the points to 4. Now, I don't know if the NFL wants to follow anything the UFL is doing, but the other part about this, my brain was going to explode from the math. Now we should go for 2 because we can be down 4 instead of 3.
It's too much math.
The whole sheet that you have to have. You have to hire an analytics team in the booth.
So here's something for you. 2014, NFL kickers were 0 for 5 from over 60. 2024, they were 4 of 15. But last year, they were 12 of 22. Mm-hmm. In 1980, in the 80s, the decade of the 80s.
Oh, yeah, back in the 80s.
I knew that was coming.
Plus 50 yards. What do you think the percentage were made?
A 50 yarder in the 80s?
Yeah.
You said last year we were what on 60s?
12 for 22. Six, all right. 55.
In the 80s, a 50 yarder felt like was the beast.
How many attempts? And then we'll say how many went in.
Well, it doesn't. It's just all of the 80s. It's literally of the kicks from the 80s plus 50 yards.
Okay.
Couldn't have been. I mean,
I'm going to say.
Not like they were even attempting that many, 30, probably.
37%.
All right. I'm going to go.
Wait, let me get theme music.
I'm going to go. I'm going to Bob Barker this situation.
Oh, I should have gone
36%.
First.
That's amazing because it's 35.6%.
Oh,
both
no.
of you guys. That was good. Yeah.
Nice.
Can I interest you of what it rose to in the 90s?
Yes. Rise.
Why don't you make the first bet this time.
This is why we have multiple theme songs.
No, now I have to go first.
You go. Yep. Now you go.
Now I go. So the 90s.
You said the first one was 35 point what?
35.6.
This is the whole decade.
Whole decade of the 90s.
Oh, my. I mean, this would be like my boy. Like this would be like Stojanovic and guys that could actually kick.
Actually,
it was, Martin Gramatica.
It even factors in your guy from 98.
Oh, what, Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Anderson.
Gary?
Yeah. And I his, wish we and had his cousin Morty.
They're not related, but I wish we had Morty.
I mean, he was perfect that year, Rothman.
Yes, he was perfect until he wasn't. That's the worst loss in the history of
okay, get off.
Sports.
Get out of your head.
All right. Let's go to, I mean, the whole decade of the 90s, you're getting the late 90s.
Yeah.
That had to have jumped at least 8 to 10%. Like, that has to. I'm going to go to 44%.
Oh. Then I will for sure take 45.
42.1.
No.
The under comes through one more
time.
Give
me a different one, baby.
This is good. I like this game. All right. Over 50 in the decade of the 2000s. Your lead, Cole.
Dang it. All right.
It did go up again.
I was about to say, we've eclipsed the 50% threshold, I think. I'm going to say
Sergeant Hulka with the big toe is going to see how far he can kick it.
I'm going to say, all right, so we had an 8% increase. So another 8% would be 52. But I'm going to go a little bit more than that. I'll take 54%.
All right, Rothman, what say
Bob,
you?
And Bob, what years am I looking at here?
Thinking the 2000s.
2000s.
I took 54.
Yeah. So the question is,
what are you
do
doing
I want
some sort of math
I'm
over here?
I'm just thinking.
He's got his abacus out.
He does.
My, what was that? A protractor?
Yeah.
And a
compass?
What was the other thing that we learned? Man and his math. What was that
compass
thing? It was on a transit that you, you know, it was like a tripod and everything.
Oh,
and
yeah. There
angles
you go.
And things, the angle of the dangle and the whole deal.
You want 53 or 55?
I'm going to go with, just for fun, let's take my first over, double nickel.
Cole with the first win.
Play my theme song.
That'll bring on Anderson.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you see, and you go back, and I don't mean to second guess, but just kind of putting you
know,
the way the game is played.
Like, you get one win,
Minnesota
and I get to experience the worst moment of my life.
Now, you know, they get a 10-point lead. Had Atlanta on that fourth down kick the field goal, then this couldn't happen.
And Anderson hasn't missed in 2 years.
That's a pretty good bet if you say
that's
you
a
think
pretty good
Gary
bet.
Anderson will make this field goal, the answer should probably be yes.
39 yards away.
Oh, gosh, 39.
And it's not good.
And the answer will probably be yeah. There were like three announcer jinxes in a 10-second span.
First of all, it was a 38-yarder, not 39. It was officially a 38.
That's rough. All right.
And for guy made 122 kicks in a row.
That's pretty impressive.
And he makes that, we're going to the Super Bowl.
All right. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
Who, Gary?
No. Yeah.
Only more.
I don't
Morton?
Think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if maybe you had rehashed this with him on a Gold Jacket Thursday.
Here we go. The decade of the 2010s. Back to you, Rothman. Plus 50 yards.
2010s, 50 yards.
It's up until 5 years ago.
The last one you said was
50.2.
I think obviously the increases are going to get smaller because we're going farther away. So, I'm actually going to go to 54.
Okay. I was mentally committed, no matter what you said, I was going to take one more.
Okay.
Because I think this is going to be a lot higher than we think. So, I'm going 55.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
Back to back. Oh, jeez. It's okay.
Right.
This is what the folks wanted. They wanted to get to PKs. They wanted the shootout at the end. Now it's 2-2.
Oh,
62.3%. So it jumped 12% almost. Actually, 12.1. So now we only have a sample size of 5 years.
We're still on the 50-plus yarders.
50-plus yarders.
You said the last one was 62%?
62.3.
Okay.
It is now back to you, Cole, for the lead.
All right. It's going to keep going, but...
But how much?
50s do feel pretty automatic, but I don't want to get completely irresponsible, so I will go with 68.
All right, I'm going to take the under.
I wish I took 67.
The amazing part of that is...
Please be 67 point something.
7.9.
Yes!
That's me! No. We're rounding up!
Wait a minute!
We're rounding up!
Rounding up! You said 68!
You said 68. You wanted to take 67. That was a card played is a card played.
So if I would have just said anything under 68... Then I win?
It's not Price is Right rules, but you take the under, right, so you got that.
All right, fine. We'll tie it.
All right. Thank you.
I mean, that was outstanding. Couldn't have got any closer.
Yeah.
When you said 68, I'm like,
so you're telling
67 is actually further away from 67.9 than 68 is.
Rounding down.
But I was, so you look at it.
Handicap index.
I mean, from the 80s to the 2020s, it's gone up 30% basically.
So the bottom line is, should we make this? I think that once you do this, though, there's no going back.
No, you
like if you adopt a four pointer and you feel like it's slanted the game in a weird way, you're just going to remove it.
Does it make it? Is it gimmicky? Yeah. That's my point. Is like you're doing something.
It does feel silly though that a 60-yard field goal and a 35-yard field goal are the same value.
It is, but there's time and situation, and you don't have time to maybe get to the 35, and you have to have the gamble of maybe trying to kick here, or you have a great kicker. Look how much they're paying kickers these days.
That's what the nerds are for.
But here's the deal. They're trying slowly to kind of dissolve the kicker, not eliminate it, but slow it. So I think by this would slant it more towards making the kick a bigger part of the game, and I don't think they want to do that. We'll ask our friend Ian Fitzsimmons in 2 minutes. Rothman and I.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, our friend Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN college football host Amber and Ian as well, with us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. My man. Good to have you aboard. Busy Monday. You saw.
You think?
Yeah, you saw. Let's start with Ann Arbor. So, Ward Manuel, the voluntary step down, this thing cost them $12 million, and they're not even releasing all of it to the public. And I don't know. He's a guy that played for them. He's an alum. They've had success under him. Is that what this is about? Just trying to like salvage whatever legacy he has?
I think it's just Michigan being Michigan. Let's just call it as it is. They are notorious for not granting a ton of access. You name it, they try and get away from it because they believe they are Michigan. They're better than everybody else. And that's a state that is a public funded state institution. I looked it up, guys. $376 million in Michigan taxpayer money went to the University of Michigan. Those people that kicked in $376 million to that state institution, in my opinion, have a right to know what that investigation uncovered that led to Ward Manuel being told, end of the calendar year, you're gone. And go back to it, man. Jim Harbaugh suspended in 2023. Connor Stallions, in 2023, led to a $30 million fine. Then Sharon Moore. Now, finally they said enough is enough. Ward, this happened on your watch. We're going to let you graciously exit stage left. We're going to still pay you the rest of your contract. But to me, the taxpayer dollars of a state, a publicly funded institution, they have a right to know what in the ever-loving hell that $12 million investigation turned out.
So, Ian, do you think they ever release the unredacted investigation? Okay.
You knew, Bobby, you knew that. I mean, you've been around that program, man. There is no way in hell that will ever be released to the public. Now, is there some investigative reporter that might be able to dig it up? And will it come out at some point? I wouldn't doubt that one bit, man, in the world we live in today. But them actually releasing it, man, I got a better shot of not one but two supermodels walking in my front door going, you're the sexiest man alive. What do you got? I got that as a better shot of that happening than Michigan releasing that report.
Do you believe that Dusty May's departure has anything tied to this?
No, because he had made it, from what I understand, kind of clear to his inner circle and the coaching fraternity that the NBA was definitely on his radar. That's something that he wanted to try and tackle. A lot like Billy Donovan at Florida, right, when he left Florida to go to Oklahoma City and then the Chicago Bulls. So to me, that was just an itch he wanted to scratch. When you have a guy, and I'll say this also, because he was right in the mix for Cooper Flagg, right, and he missed out on him to Duke. When you have the opportunity to coach a generational talent like Cooper Flagg, and Mark Cuban is now taking more control back for the Dallas Mavericks, and to work for one of the best GMs in the NBA, who led obviously and built a Raptors squad to hoist Hilario in Toronto of all places, that's something that you really cannot turn down. So I don't think Dusty May's departure had anything to do with Ward, exiting stage right or left, whichever way you want to go with it, or you can be ambidextrous. But to me, it was all about Harbaugh, Stallions, and then the final straw was this whole Jerome Moore affair and everything else that was just a bad, bad look, man. And the brand was a bit tarnished, and that's something that Michigan never wants to happen.
What are your thoughts about Sankey mentioning today having conversations with other school presidents involving the SEC and perhaps separating itself from the rest of the NCAA? We've heard rumblings of this over the years. They've talked about the frustrations that would bring them to the point of saying this, but is this something that he's just throwing out some sort of trial balloon here, or what do you make of it?
It's either posturing or preaching, right? And remember, Georgia's president, Joe Moorhead, President Moorhead, made this comment a few months ago. Like, hey, if we don't get what we want, we'll just take our ball and secede. Well, hold on a second there. Because how are you going to make a schedule? You will have a boycott from the other P4 schools, in my opinion, that would not want to play the SEC just on principle. They go, you know what? You're going to secede, we're not going to play you. So how do you come up with a schedule that is strong enough to just play SEC schools? I think this is more posturing than preaching. And Sankey's one of the best at it, man. Are they in favor of a 2014 playoff? Outside of Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of Missouri, absolutely not. They're happy with 12. They would prefer, or not even prefer, but they tolerate 16, but they don't want 24 outside of Eli. And Drink's got his logic. You know, he wants play-in games for all the P4, conferences, which would be interesting. But that means the conference title games have to go away. And then there's talk that's going to happen anyway. But when it comes to Sankey and piggybacking on President Moorhead's comments from a few months ago, I think personally this is more posturing than preaching.
Alabama has never been a place where Ohio State has really recruited all that well. They've had a handful of guys over the last, 40 years. Just got a commitment. That would be their seventh guy that would be joining the team from the state of Alabama. Ian, I don't know that.
What high school, by the way?
Yes.
You know what high school?
Oh, goodness. I can't think. It was a defensive tackle that just came through. But they,
okay.
I mean, they're going to have seven guys. I mean, a couple of them transferred in, obviously, Quay Rousseau and James Smith. But, Caleb Downs last year. But then number of guys from the state. I mean, Caleb was from Georgia, but guys from the state of Alabama. Ian, what is going on down there where I believe out of, various rankings, you look at like the top 14 or 15 guys and maybe only one or two of them that are ranked within the state are going to Alabama. Some are going to Auburn, some are going to A&M or wherever, handful are going to Ohio State or other places. This just seems kind of crazy to me where we're at here just a couple years into the Kalen DeBoer tenure.
Well, I think Alabama is a national title contender this year, Bobby. I think they are loaded. And if you're looking at future wagers, I think their win total right now is set on DraftKings around 9, 9.5. Hammer the over. Oklahoma's at 7.5. Hammer the over. Keelan Russell is legit. He was a Duncanville High School five-star recruit at quarterback here in the state of Texas where I live now. Austin Mack came with DeBoer from Washington, knows Ryan Grubbs' system, the offensive coordinator there. The running game's going to be so much better. They now have depth there, even though missing out on Hollywood Smothers from NC State, who actually ended up going to go to Alabama. Then Texas came in with about $500,000 more, and now he's a Longhorn. And that's the answer to your question. Money talks, bro. And, you know, DeBoer and that staff, they're not just recruiting Alabama. They're recruiting the country, as does Ohio State. That's why they're going into Alabama. And look, the talent, high school talent in that state, along with Mississippi, Louisiana, you know, that Gulf Coast belt, it is ridiculously deep. I think Alabama and Mississippi per capita have more professional athletes than any other state in the union when you go per capita, because there ain't that many people, let's be honest, in Mississippi and Alabama. But the talent is immense, and when you grab one, good job out of Ryan Day, man, that coaching staff, because they can play. But look, DeBoer is recruiting the portal and nationally, and I'm telling you, man, that the defense is bigger up front. The O-line is healthy this year, and if whoever wins that quarterback battle, watch out, man, because I think that they are going to be a breakout-type star. Like, how many people right now know the name C.J. Bailey?
Probably not many.
Right now.
Not many.
That dude, I promise you, is one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. He's 6'6", 225, 230 pounds. He showed up at NC State at 6'6", like a buck 05, right? Here's some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We want to eat these damn things at 2 a.m. We got to put some freaking meat on your bones. Here's ribeyes and porterhouses and T-bones. Dominate them. C.J. Bailey is one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. He will be a household name come November. Whoever wins that battle in Alabama, whether it's Mac or Russell, will be a household name come November. Mark my words, and I'm telling you, Bama is not just a college football playoff team. They're going to make a run. I would not look too much into them losing guys to Ohio State or Auburn or anywhere else, because their recruiting classes and their portal classes still pretty damn strong.
Awesome, brother. Always good to catch up, man. Hope you have a great week.
By the way, my daughter Marin had an apple and peanut butter today.
It's awesome.
I haven't had an apple and peanut butter in a long time. That damn thing is still a banger. Who comes up with those combos? How does that happen? Who thinks of putting peanut butter on an apple or chocolate on a strawberry? Inquiring minds want to know.
Mm. Yeah, who designed that chocolate-covered
strawberry? Peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah. All right, we'll figure it out, and you'll answer it next week. We'll give you a week to figure it out.
I'm leaving that to you to figure it out, AR.
I'll try to figure it out. You're the best, man. See you, pal. That's Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and I.
Here at The Fan, we love summer as much as the next guy. Fun times at the pool, family vacations, all that crap. But as the dog days descend upon us, it only means one thing. Buckeye Football Fall Camp. Join us beginning August 6th.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home.
All right, Rothman in Vegas did not give me the answer that I wanted, so I will ask Bobby this question today. Which of your former teammates has the worst tattoo?
I mean, you go all the way back. Depending on, like, what do you define as bad? Like, just ugly or...
No regrets?
Something that you guys made fun of him for.
I mean, my man Scotty Mack.
Let me ask you this real fast. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's okay.
I remember Zeke having one because he wore the crop. Was it a Feed Me tattoo that he had on his stomach?
Oh, yeah. He had that. Like, Scott McMullen had Forever Loved, or has. I don't think he got it removed. Yeah. He's added to Forever Love in script on his pec. And I thought that was like, or maybe on his shoulders. Like, I thought it was the most bizarre thing. Like, I'm a freshman coming in, I'm like, this dude has Forever Love in, like, cursive, like, on his pec or, like, shoulder, like, rear shoulder. And then he also has McMullen belt, like a McMullen waistband, like his name is tattooed there. That's pretty cool. That was something interesting. I mean, I had some guys got some. You know who had the worst one? Fickle has one on his right calf, I think. Right or left? I can't remember. I think it's his right. And it's supposed to be like a panther crawling out of his leg. It looks awful. I mean, it's the worst looking tattoo ever. His wife makes fun of him for it all the time. Said he should have got it taken away. Tank Johnson has a crucifix, like a rosary crucifix, that he has tattooed on him. That Rothman, it's like, it's not just like this, it's like it's swinging, like he's running, it's like got some curve to it. That was in there. I mean, I had a lot of guys. Like, I've never been a big, I've never been someone who really understands, like, the leg tat, like getting those tats up on your, like, your quads. I mean, that seems like it'd be pretty painful.
Right, you know? On the quad?
Yeah, like,
they
do,
like, soften
those full,
that up enough to,
I don't know. They do those, like, wraparounds to the back of your hamstring and stuff. And I remember guys would walk by and, like, rip your leg hair. I was like, that hurt enough. I can't imagine, you know, getting some ink down there. I play with dudes that had neck tats. I mean, I don't think I played with anybody that had some legit face tats. We'd have some nice neck tats in there, too.
I asked, like, Rothman in Vegas last week. I said, do you guys recall any of your friends getting embarrassing tattoos in, like, the 90s or anything? And they're like, no.
Everybody in the 90s, like, late 90s, early 2000s, that's around my age. Like, if you were old enough, Andy Katzenmore had the barbed wire on his arm.
He did.
And that was like... But if you could get the barbed wire, you could get your parents to let you sign off. I would have got that thing when I was 15 years old, man.
Doesn't Urlacher have a barbed wire tattoo?
He has something like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the guys of that age.
You guys are missing the one that, I don't know when it happened, but what made it go sideways is that Pamela Anderson got it.
Oh, she got that.
She had the barbed wire.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So yeah. I don't know what you
Oh, no, that's legit,
that
though.
That was the one that either launched it or made it a big deal.
There was a lot of launching going on, Rothman. But yeah, she did have that, too. I mean, there's just...
Hepatitis C.
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, people had, like, Grim Reaper. I mean, just some guys would have, like, nostalgic stuff. They'd have pictures of, like, their family members that had passed. Things like that, different dates.
She got the barbed wire in 1995.
Yeah.
For the movie Barbed Wire.
Hey, live the bit.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to see, Cole. Guys,
unless that was makeup and then she wound up getting it. I don't even know. I don't know that.
For the ink?
That went inside.
There you go.
It's a good Hangover reference there that...
Of any other crazy stuff. Like
the panther crawling out of his leg is pretty bad.
The worst part is the art on it is terrible. That's the thing. Like, there's
tattoo artists have gotten so much better than they used to.
Yeah, because now they're artists. The reality is, like, there's some things that I'll pay full price for in this world. Tattoos are one of them. I want it to be done well and done right. I don't necessarily need a discount tattoo, just like I don't need a discount surgery. I'm willing to go full boat on that.
Doctors without diplomas?
Yeah. Speaking of that, my dad's doing a lot better. He hopefully will be getting him out of here soon. He's had some ulcered stuff, a little bleeding in the stomach. You know, you go to the hospital, they find things wrong with you. You just get all kinds of stuff. But he's doing a lot better.
Yes.
So, yes, he's off most of his stuff. So I'm hoping that he'll be exiting here shortly. He wants to get the hell out of there. It's been 4 weeks since he walked in. Yeah, so it's been a long time.
Stir crazy?
Oh, he hates it. Yeah, he hates hospitals in general. When I broke my leg in high school, I had surgery up here at OSU. I was in there for like 3 or 4 days. He didn't even come see me. And my mom's like, you know he hates hospitals. I'm like, I get it. I mean, I'm like, I'm fine. But
yeah, we got the TVs are better now and people waiting on you.
But dude, it's...
I know.
You're in that bed. He likes to be outside. Yeah. He's an outdoor cat, so... He wants to be out. He's like, I just want to go home and see my cows and let the dogs go out. But, I mean, everybody that's been praying for him, we're just so thankful for all of that. And it's, you know, from where he could have been, the one doctor goes, you're as dead as they let you declare us in the state of Ohio. When this happened, I'm like, well, I guess that's good. You know, you bounce back from that and you're walking around and trying to get out of there. So hopefully we're on the mend and getting out of here soon. So
good.
That's the goal.
Good.
He doesn't have any tattoos, though, Cole.
Oh, no?
No.
He was a little bit before the tattoo.
It really wasn't his thing. My parents, they were vehemently against me getting any tattoos or piercings. So.
Yeah, that was also the era, was the earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Rothman, was that your era?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you get an earring.
Diamond stud, right?
Yeah,
you couldn't because you were on TV.
No, yeah. Well, what are you talking about? Like Ed Bradley had when he's on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, there you go. Rothman, he'd get that tongue ring is what he was really looking for. A little tongue piercing.
Rothman, tell the truth. Did you ever participate in the Chicago Scream Club?
What is that?
People that go to the lake and just yell at the water. It's a stress reliever. I don't know. They do it early in the morning. No,
it popped into my algorithm after you talked to me about it.
Did
so
it?
My phone was listening to you. Talk to me.
There's no way that happened.
In my algorithm,
oh, yeah. The Your video phone 100%
the,
listens to
the video of the Chicago Scream Club going to the shores of Lake Michigan and just yelling at the water.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, made its way into my algorithm.
I'd rather lay down and like have somebody just beat me with a belt. That releases
that
stress. That's the type
that
of
helps
stress.
The personal growth. It a good will. Beating.
Sometimes a good beating promotes personal growth. Oh, by the way,
give you something else to focus on.
Bodie loves Rachel McAdams. And I go, if you really love Rachel McAdams, the plot line isn't great. But True Detective Season 2 will show you a side of her that you probably haven't seen, that you'll really enjoy.
Here's the list of how you do it in Chicago. So you show up, there's no cost, and you don't have to sign up, just come as you are, and then just let it out. Like, you basically write what you're holding on to, you toss it in the lake, you breathe and scream, and that's it.
You let it out.
And then you feel the shift. Starts with you. Be the change you want to be.
Be the change you wish to see, Roth. And that's what we're trying to promote over here.
Let it out, Adam Schefter.
Well done. All right.
So that's the one I meant to click.
Is that when you asked him, what was it every week when you asked him about...
Trey Hendrickson or something?
No, when I was asking about Miles. It actually turned out to be true.
And you were prophetic.
Yeah, I was like, I know, I'd beat you up on this every week.
Anthony,
but
I mean, if they were good at trading...
I know,
like,
I was like, and then I was like, does June 1st have it? And then boom, it happened.
No, none of that. Rothman, Anthony, come on, we do this every week.
Come on,
and then,
man, we've known each other for so many... Con Man and Timmy up next. They'll be talking about Ward Manuel stepping down, and they're talking baseball with Jason Stark at 5:30. Bob, great to have you in. We'll talk to you
Always
tomorrow.
Great to be in
at high noon, Rothman.